your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock. Iran says shipments of humanitarian aid will be allowed to pass through the Strait of Hormuz. The announcements come from its ambassador at the United Nations as the shipping route remains effectively closed, prohibiting the passage of around 20% of the world's oil supplies. President Trump says Iran is on the run and is no longer the bully of the Middle East. He's been speaking during an event in Miami in the last half hour.
Tonight we're closer than ever to the rise of the Middle East, that is finally free at last from Iranian terror, aggression, and nuclear blackmail. That's what's happened. It was nuclear blackmail for years and years. And beyond that, there was blackmail, period. Under my leadership, America is ending the threat posed by this radical regime.
The Iranian-backed Houthis say they're ready to intervene militarily in the Middle East if the allies of the US and Israel join the existing conflict. The group is based in Yemen and has made the announcements during a televised speech. The golfer Tiger Woods has been charged with driving under the influence and two other offences after a road collision in Florida. Police say he refused to give a urine specimen in prison after being detained this afternoon. Sheriff John Budenseck has been briefing the media.
At the Martin County Jail, and even on scene, we really weren't suspicious of alcohol being involved in this case, and that proved to be true at the jail. So Mr. Woods did a breathalyzer test, blew triple zeros. But when it came time for us to ask for a urinalysis test, he refused, and so he's been charged with DUI, with property damage, and refusal to submit to a lawful test.
An Afghan asylum seeker who's been jailed for raping a 12-year-old girl in Nuneaton will be automatically liable for deportation after he serves his sentence. 23-year-old Ahmad Mullakhil had come to the UK illegally on a small boat 4 months before the attack last summer. And in sport and in football, England have drawn 1-1 with Uruguay at Wembley. James Garner and the goalkeeper James Trafford both made their England debuts in the friendly. In the city, the FTSE 100 closed down 5 points at 99.67. The pound will buy $1.33 and €1.16. LBC weather, scattered showers across England and Wales overnight, rain and hill snow for Scotland and Northern Ireland, with a low in some districts of around 2 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Hello, everyone.
Everything is going tremendously well under my huge, enormous leadership. People say, sir, under your immense bigness, things have never been going well as they're going as well today. Or something. Advanced weather modelling maps show a blizzard will soon move across the UK from the east and bring snow to several major cities, including, but not limited to, London. Snow?
Oh, no.
Temperatures on the morning of April the 9th could drop as low as -2°C in Scotland and to 1°C across large swathes of both England and Wales. And there is never a sentence with good news that contains the word swathes. But that's in April. More immediately, several parts of the UK are expected to get hit with blustery showers, wind and hail across the weekend as unsettled weather spreads across the country. Temperatures are likely to dip to around 3 to 4°C in towns and cities across the UK on Saturday morning, with heavy rain due to hit the north of England and Wales and move across East Anglia, wherever that is. Outbreaks of heavy rain over Scotland land on Saturday could bring hail and possible snow, while mostly raining in Glasgow, I bet. Mostly. I could check on that while you wait. One moment, please. Aha. Well, it's raining at the moment in Glasgow. Don't call and tell me it isn't, because it is. It will further be raining tomorrow and raining on Sunday and... not raining on Monday. Pfft, rubbish. It'll be raining on Tuesday and raining on Wednesday and the following Thursday and Friday after that and Saturday the 4th and Sunday the 5th and the Monday following that. And it'll be raining on the subsequent Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and every day for the rest of your lives. Doesn't seem fair, really, does it? And for everyone, Sunday afternoon is expected to be wet and blustery across most of England and Wales with possible hail, thunder, lightning. Very, very frightening.
Rock and roll!
Would you like to hear the long-range forecast for the next 4 weeks?
No.
Wetter and windier in the north, drier and more settled in the south for the next couple of weeks. Then more widespread settled conditions with some colder interludes possible with some wintry showers at times. And then, middle 2 weeks of April. Blimey, it's April already. Practically half the year gone. It's almost time to deck the halls and celebrate Jesus' birthday. Middle 2 weeks of April. That could all change from that moment on. It could be absolutely blooming fantastic, or it could be horrible for months yet. So good luck, everybody. Middle 2 weeks of April. Fingers crossed. Plenty of dry weather, but wetter and windier in the north. Overall, temperatures will likely be near to or a little above average. Temperatures will likely to be near to or a little above average. We'll take it. Tariq from Chertsey says the Iran war is going so badly for Trump right now, he may need to release the Epstein files as a distraction from that.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
Sir Keir Starmer. You know Sir Keir Starmer. That's right. Sir Keir Starmer has accused Donald Trump of bad-mouthing him in public in an attempt to drag Britain into this war against Iran. And I think I speak for all of us when I say, I agree with Sir Keir.
What?
Yeah. Almost never has that sentence been uttered in public. I agree with Skier. The US president has repeatedly slagged off the PM in recent days like some lovesick teenager who's been ghosted on TikTok. Skier doesn't love you, Donnie. Get over it. This is all because Skier won't come out to play and Donnie is upset because none of the other kids want to play with him either. The UK is refusing to bail Trump out of the latest mess he's gotten himself into. And other NATO members aren't interested in hoisting Trump out of the ditch he's got himself stuck in either. You know, like one of those elephant rescues you used to see on Twitter before it was turned into X and came to resemble the mind of its creator. Those elephants are still being hauled out of ditches, you know. It's just that there's no room for those videos on X now that its allotted space on the internet is taken up with people in foreign countries with 6 followers and an official blue tick posting about how Nigel Fagash should be running this country on Donald Trump's behalf.
I'm a nutcase.
You see, Donnie broke a very expensive vase when he was playing army, and he's trying to put the blame on someone else while blackmailing them to fix it for him. But Sir Keir is made of such stern stuff. Stern and dull. Exactly what you need from a leader at this precise moment. Not some hothead with a point to prove about, let's say, her ability to run a country. And not some oily charlatan who pretends to be a patriot but is only interested in sucking up to, let's say, his wannabe best buddy in the whole wide world. We need solid and stable, not sound bites, and Skier is both of the former and doesn't do sound bites at all. I mean, can you recall a single thing that he has ever said? No. And that's what we need. Not some giddy show pony who performs for the cameras and whose week revolves around trying to land a zinger at Prime Minister's questions. Skier said he would not buckle, and repeated his vow that while the US forces will be allowed to use UK bases, our own armed forces will not be dragged into a wider conflict, for which we should say,
thank you.
Appreciate it, Skier. In his latest attack last night, Donald Trump branded the UK's 2 largest warships and aircraft carriers, HMS Queen Elizabeth. Oh, not again. Oh, I can't stand it. That poor bloke, every time he steps out of a carriage, he's got to suffer this. In his latest attack last night, Trump branded the UK's 2 largest warships, our biggest ships, the HMS Queen Elizabeth and the HMS Prince of Wales. He branded them as toys. Toys! He has also repeatedly said that Skier is no Churchill, who made a big mistake in not rushing to support the US-Israeli onslaught. And Trump is no Eisenhower, and he made a big mistake about rushing to support the Israeli onslaught. And as neither did any other country rush to help, it seems like the smart choice to me. Only smart people would make that choice.
Trust me, I'm like a smart person.
No, not people who are like a smart person. People who are a smart person.
I'm a very stable genius.
He He's the President of the United States of America. Can you believe that?
No.
So this rift has left the transatlantic special relationship at its lowest ebb in decades, with the US increasingly isolated over a conflict that is threatening to plunge the global economy into recession. Okay, couple of three things. First, there's no such thing as a special relationship. Second, there's no such thing as the special relationship in capital letters, underlined with 10 exclamation marks after it, like it's shouting at us. The special relationship only ever existed in our minds. And we believed it because Americans speak English, so it's like we thought we understood each other. And now we have the word mangler-in-chief in the White House. We understand how little we understood. Even though it is true that he does know words. He has the best words. And he knows about wind. I could play either of them right now, but I've decided not to. It only ever existed in our minds, this special relationship. He's not our friend. He's launched an economic war on us that's making us poorer. This had nothing to do with Iran. And for no reason whatsoever, he launched an economic war on us. I mean, certainly nothing that we've done. And that's not what friends do. Trump's been hitting out at countries that used to be on America's side since he was mystifyingly re-elected.
I love the poorly educated.
Yeah, they keep giving and giving, don't they, Donnie? Mostly money. Have you seen my new watches? They're fantastic. He is actually selling watches, by the way. I didn't make that up. You'd think he was broke.
I make $400 million a year, so what difference does it make?
Yeah, I didn't believe him when he said it then, but I certainly do believe him now. I bet he's making at least that. You can't keep hitting someone and still expect them to be your friend, to still expect them to come and get you out of a scrape. And Donnie never learned that because he doesn't appear to have ever had a friend.
Don't be rude.
He's had employees, and he's had victims, and he's had people who wanted something, so they stuck around through the pain. But friends? I don't know. Just asking questions. Asked whether Trump's repeated attacks had made him bristle, the Prime Minister told Sky News' Electoral Dysfunction podcast, I think I understand what's happening. It's to put pressure on me in different ways. But that pressure isn't going to make me waver. Good. Leave the wavering to those who waver for a living, like hairdressers and surfers. Meanwhile, during one of those White House cabinet meetings, where his people take it in turns to say how great and tremendous is the dear leader, Trump lashed out again at NATO for doing what he said was absolutely nothing to help the US in the Middle East conflict. That's because NATO is a defensive force, not some rent-a-military for whatever half-brained excursion the drooler-in-chief fancies will prop up his popularity this week.
Don't talk to me that way. Don't talk to... I'm the President of the United States. Don't ever talk to the President that way.
Duly noted, Donnie. Duly noted. 0345-6060-973. Text 84850. Email nicka@lbc.co.uk. If you are on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone. 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
LBC.
So, you're geared up for this Making Tax Digital thing?
Sure. I just need some new mud boards, bag of cavity tyres and a couple of lintels.
Hey, MTD, mate. Digital taxes.
Mm-hmm. It's an extension down Station Road on the corner.
Dave, digital taxes, mate.
Yeah. Probably will need some 2x4s. I want to go take the van in for a new fan belt. Squeaky.
Hey, Making Tax Digital, Dave.
Avoiding MTD. Sage makes tax simpler for sole traders. Search Sage MTD to get your free software today.
Chase is the digital bank that gives you 1% cash back on groceries.
So can I get cash back on cake mix?
Indeed.
And icing?
Yep.
And sprinkles?
Sure.
And candles?
Yeah. And you can turn all that cash back into a nice birthday treat.
How do you know it's my birthday?
Just a hunch. Get 1% cash back on groceries, fuel and everyday transport when you spend with Chase. Search Chase Bank. 18 plus UK residents. 1% cash back on this debit card spending for your first year. Maximum £15 per month. Eligibility and exceptions apply. May be changed or withdrawn.
Aye. I'm looking for a pair of jeans.
Right. Low slung, slouchy, wide leg, bower leg, curved leg, flared, straight or skinny.
Blue?
Fashion.
it's hard to keep on top of. Other things, like the upcoming changes to renting, are a bit easier. If you are a landlord and you have existing tenants, you must send them a copy of the government's information sheet by the 31st of May, or risk a fine. Find out more at gov.uk/renting-is-changing.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Hello, boys.
It's Isleworth and Ravi. Ravi.
Good evening there. How are you, sir?
Good evening there. I'm great, mate.
I think to get on the good side of my friend, the orange buffoon, we should have another state visit. This time, we will make sure that he has afternoon tea in Windsor, and we can look after him with a red carpet, and then hopefully he can be talking good about Sir Keir. What
well,
do you think?
I think that as long as you're amused, then that's one of us. Thanks a lot, Ravi, for whatever that was. Neil in Brighton says, "Hi, Nick. Do you think that Trumpolonian? He's going for Napoleon, but it just doesn't work. Do you think that Trump and his pal Pete Beer Breath? It's actually Kegs Breath. That works better. Do you think that both of those two can make the U bend of Trump straight again?" Wow, I think that counts as two in a row on the Nicky Abbott Show. What have I done to deserve this? Soraya, let's see what this one's like. Soraya in Worksop says, Donnie Dumpy Pants will now have his signature on banknotes. That's another one for the bingo card. He also got another shiny gold trophy yesterday from US Speaker Mike Johnson. Did he? What's this one for? It's one of those shiny gold trophies that you can have between meals without ruining your appetite for another shiny gold trophy.
I accept this award on behalf of myself. I really deserve it. Should have been bigger.
What was the gold trophy for? Anybody have any idea? The excellence in being him. Yeah. I want to know now. I bet my glamorous assistant is on that straight away, if not sooner. Keen to find out. Maidenhead. Hello, Gary.
Oh, evening to you, Nick.
Gary.
Just a quick word. Ian Dale said he was going to be in Maidenhead tonight. He must be pulling his hair out because there's roadworks everywhere, especially by the bridge, so he might be sat there going absolutely mad. But I was just wondering whether we're going to end up like... do you remember that Mad Max film where the last of the oil refineries... and everyone was trying to get the fuel.
Yeah.
I went into Morrison's tonight, and the chap there that I know quite well, he says, we're running low on diesel. We ordered 10,000 litres, and we got 3,000. I said, well, that ain't going to last long.
Wow. It's happening.
Yeah. I think, I think that in another 2 or 3 weeks, especially the diesel, because, you know, most of the vans and lorries are running on diesel, but I think we're heading for some real... I can't see... I don't know whether Labour can do anything, but, I mean, there's one garage here now. The diesel's up to £1.90, so it's going to be £2 soon.
Blimey, £1.90. Well, I just saw £1.51 for petrol, and that's not good.
It's just crazy. And I've got a solution.
You do?
And, you know, I mean, I love your impression of Trump, but maybe, you know, there's a hotline. But where all that curve goes around, to avoid a war and everything, why don't they just do a Suez Canal through Dubai? Well, because then that'll avoid war.
Yeah.
Iran will never be able to hold... the well to ransom anymore because the ships will cut through to Dubai.
Right.
And that'll be it, and there'll be peace, and you know what I mean? But
peace will break out. All they got to do is build a canal through a country. Simple.
Well, that's got to be better than the alternative.
And what we've got going on now, yeah. Well, you sound like a man with a plan and a map. Would you like to start in the Department of War first thing Monday morning?
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
I would take that job on.
Right, well, we'll see you at 9 sharp. Thanks a lot, Gary. We'll discuss compensation later. You will be fully compensated. President Donald Trump gave an hour-long rambling... Rambling? Donald Trump? I don't think so. An hour-long rambling speech on Wednesday night at the National Republican Congressional Committee's annual fundraising dinner in Washington, D.C. I bet they made a boatload. House Speaker Mike Johnson introduced Trump at the event and announced that... This is, by the way, information that has come in from my glamorous assistant. House Speaker Mike Johnson introduced Trump at the event and announced the president had received the first annual America First Award. I mean, this is what it must be like to be Kim Jong-un or Kim Jong-il or whichever one we're up to at the moment. Everyone just throws flattery. They hose you down with flattery wherever you go. And they just give you prizes and awards for, excellence in showing up to work. Johnson called the prize a beautiful golden statue, and I'm looking at a picture of it now, and I can tell you that that is completely incorrect in every respect. It looks absolutely terrifying. It looks like a bird is... it's got its bottom superglued to the ground, and it's trying to take off, but is failing. Or it's put on a little bit too much weight and can't take to the air. Which would be appropriate. Hey, Donnie.
Oh, shut up!
Yeah, a little bit too much weight there. Can't take off. Trump launched into a meandering speech during which he lobbed familiar insults at his perceived political foes, including former presidents Joe Biden and Barack Obama. Can you remember when it was him in the White House and the world seemed sane? So it's the first annual America First Award goes to Donald J. Trump. The J is for bravery. it's like a baby is running the world. And I've said this before, but the human race is represented by a person who is duct taped to a chair in a room with a baby holding a machine gun. That's where we are right now. Let's see now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Crouch End. I do believe that Brian has some information in this regard. Hello, Brian.
Hello. Yes. Well, you pretty much covered what I was going to say. Because Moses Mike gave this glowing intro before presenting the America First Award.
Moses Mike?
Yes. because he
Moses
the
Mike Johnson, today. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so he presented the award and was claiming, well, it's going to be an annual award. This will be the first one. And I'm thinking, If Trump is still alive and still president a year from now, is he going to get the second one as well?
Even if he's not still alive, I do believe he will still be president. He'll make it happen.
Yes, AI or something.
Yeah.
But, he can put that award right next to the FIFA Peace Prize.
First inaugural yearly FIFA Peace Prize, the very prestigious FIFA Peace Prize, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know, speaking of World Cup, are there any nations that have boycotted so far?
Boycotted what? Oh, FIFA, the World Cup?
Yeah.
No, not that I'm aware of, no. I don't think anybody's going to boycott the World Cup.
Yeah, I thought Iran qualified, so that's what I was wondering.
Right, well, they might not boycott it, but they might be boycotted.
Yeah, that'll
different.
Fix them.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Because they started this war.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That will really show them. Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot, Brian. I'm not sure that. Well, never mind. Dave in Birmingham says the award was for not soiling. Oh God, this is very, very bad taste, but probably true. Martin says, Nick, you and Trump are both a pair of nutters. You both rant and rave and talk rubbish. You laugh at your own comments, even though you're not funny, says Martin. Do you hear that, Donnie? Put him on a list. Keith says, I was just thinking, if the Supreme Leader was a football club, do you think it would be called the Totty Hands Footspurs? Don't get it. And there's a message in red at the end that says, I don't get it either, says my glamorous assistant. No. Nothing on this show has made any sense so far, including the first annual America First Award. Nigel says, really enjoying the bawling from Nigel Cabbage and his merry band this week. Such a shame. Don't they ever complain and complain and complain.
Whinging and whining and moaning.
Yeah. On and on and on it goes. When will I ever stop whining? Matt said, on that subject, Matt says, this week in reform saw Nigel Farage walk out of the PMQs after he received a word Anne Widdecombe had escaped from her cave and Richard Ticebutt Dim started chatting at the Met Office on X over rainfall statistics and pushing the net stupid zero agenda. Are these fools really leading the polls? It's astonishing, really, isn't it? But we have to keep hold of the fact that the vast majority of the people in this country want him and his band of merry trolls in charge of this country, not at all. The vast majority of the people in this country are centre-left, not right-wing. If you add the Tories and Reform together, you still don't reach 50%, not even close. And the rest of us are, we're Greenies or Lib Demers or Labourites and SNPists, Plaiders. Oh, big news from Wales. I'll get to that in a while. In fact, I might get to it right now because here is a call in West Wales called Martin. 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 Too late. Paul says, Donald Trump keeps repeating the same words because he has the vocabulary of a 12-year-old combined with the IQ of a melon. Well, no, he keeps repeating the same... Well, that might be partly true. Might be partly true.
Oh, shut up!
But he keeps repeating the same words because that's the IQ level of the people that he is trying to reach. He has a very, very limited vocabulary. And I'm not even sure that he has the reading age of a 12-year-old. He doesn't have the speaking age of a 12-year-old, so something around 8, 9 years old, something like that, and those are the people he's trying to reach. And he's reaching them very, very well. And certain politicians in this country have the same kind of approach, because they're trying to reach the same sort of people.
I love the poorly educated.
And they're doing it very, very well as well. It's a game, and that's what they're playing. They're playing a game. How can you attract enough gullible people to put you in office? And the answer seems to be, in certain countries, yes. And in other countries, no.
No, 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 no.
No, some other countries have dabbled in that and have said, you know what, no, not really, no. Which way will we go? Well, let's find out. Lawrence said, March came in like a lamb and goes out like a lion. In what respect? Goes out like a lion. What does that mean? It doesn't seem like he's going out like a lion. I'm familiar with the phrase, but I don't really understand what the what that means in this context. It's like middling weather. It's a little bit wet. It's a little bit windy. It's a little bit dry. It's a little bit warm-ish. That's not like a lion. That's like something else. That's like a zebra or something. Or a quokka. Oh, have you seen quokkas? Oh, don't get me started on that again. So cute. Yeah, me and Carol were talking about that.
Yeah.
Me and Carol are back. We're back. Karen McGiffin and I do a podcast which took... and we're very, very sorry about this.
I am very sorry that I screwed
we,
up.
We screwed
totally
up.
Totally screwed. I mean, I am so
we
sorry.
Are sorry.
You just don't know how sorry I am. I'm sorry.
We are sorry. We are sorry that we took 5 weeks off. We're very, very sorry about that. But we're back. We are back just in the nick of time to help the world out of a scrape. And you, for whatever scrape that you find yourself into. If you want us to solve your problem, then simply send it to the following address. nickandcarol@global.com. That's NickandCarol @global.com. And prepare to be totally satisfied.
Oh, right, yeah.
Ask for it by name on an internet near you, what's your problem with Nick and Carol? And if you just want to escape from this constant doom scrolling that I bet you're in, if you just want to leave the news behind for a little while, then it'll be right up your alley. I think you'll love it. Ask for it by name on an internet near you. What's your problem with Nick and Carol? 10:30 on LBC, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
President Trump has said Iran is on the run and is no longer the bully of the Middle East. He's been speaking during an event in Miami, while Tehran has said it will allow shipments of humanitarian aid to pass through the Strait of Hormuz. The golfer Tiger Woods has been charged with driving under the influence and two other offences after a road collision in Florida. Police say he refused to give a urine specimen in prison after being detained this afternoon. And an Afghan asylum seeker who's been jailed for raping a 12-year-old girl in Nuneaton will be automatically liable for deportation after serving his sentence. 23-year-old Ahmad Mullakhill had come to the UK illegally on a small boat. LBC weather, scattered showers across England and Wales overnight, rain and hill snow for Northern Ireland and Scotland. We'll see a low of around 2 degrees.
This is LBC.
A southern train is a place where you can wind down and catch up. A chance to let conversations flow and plans unfold. And swap doomscrolling for telling stories. Too good for the group chat. Make the journey part of the joy and save 1/3 with off-peak group tickets at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Our pets in a pickle. We're here when it matters most. For fuss-free pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
Your life's already digital. From banking and shopping to streaming and learning. So why does sorting government stuff still feel like such hard work? The government is introducing a new digital ID to make access to services quicker and more secure for everyone. But we need to hear from you. Your voice matters. Search digital ID consultation to have your say. Digital ID, making public services work for you.
You know what you're getting with a wedding? Wedding hats. A baby in a waistcoat crying throughout the vows. Themed tables. Awkward best man speech. The plus one.
Hello.
People dancing in a circle. Ruined rental suit. Sometimes in life you just know what you're getting. Like a luxury bed and a great night's sleep. You know what you're getting with Premier Inn.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Hello, boys.
Aldo says, good evening, Nick. A few times now I have heard you complain about food waste bins being raided by foxes and am shocked that a man of your above-average intellect has chosen to dispose of food in the general waste instead of using a strap to secure the food waste caddy. As for the smell, do you not have two caddies, a small kitchen caddy and a larger collection caddy, stowed outside in the shade? They should seal shut quite well. Please get a strap for your food waste and do your part to reduce food waste in our landfill, says Aldo. Yeah, I've done all that. And it doesn't work. And me and nobody around where I live actually uses those food caddies anymore because it just takes too long for the council to come around and take them away. If they did it every day or every other day, then that would be one thing. But they don't. They leave it for, like, 2 weeks. The smell of it, attracting all sorts of unpleasantness. And a strap. See, I think that the bin persons would reject it because it is not standard issue equipment. They seem to be very particular. So that ain't going to work. And they do seal shut with a sort of a closing mechanism. The handle comes over the front of it, supposedly to keep the top down. But, you know, foxes are smart enough that they can figure that out in about 2 seconds flat. So, no. It's a big no from me. Let's have Basildon. Hello, Darren.
Hello.
Darren.
Can you hear me?
No.
Long time listener, first time caller. You all right?
Good man.
Yeah, I just wanted to pull you up on something, actually.
Yes.
On your recommendation, after listening to you, you kept going on about how good The Sopranos was.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right, so I couldn't get it on any of my streaming services, so what I done was I went the long way round. I bought the DVD box set.
Wow. How much was that?
30 quid.
And what was deluxe about it?
Well, I don't know, because I'm only two seasons in at the minute.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to tell me you don't like it.
I'm definitely going to tell you I don't like it.
What don't you like about it?
As I said to your glamorous assistant, and also, I bought the DVD, but then I had to buy a DVD player to play them on the world.
Okay. So, you are all in. Yes, all of your chips are in the middle of the table.
Yes, so I've got two TVs in my living room at the minute. Oh, because it's a TV-DVD combo, yeah?
Oh, right. Right, that seems extreme. You bought a TV-DVD combo. Could you not have just bought a cheap DVD player to stick in your other TV?
Yeah, I could have, but I don't like messing about with wires and stuff, so I was only 20 quid, a TV-DVD.
Oh, okay, right.
So it owes me 50 quid, right?
Yeah.
But I thought Nick Abbott says this is a great show. So, yeah, I'm two seasons in, and I just had to call you because I'm not feeling it at the minute,
but
to be honest.
What is it that you don't like about The Sopranos?
There seems to be no storyline, really.
What?
Not really. Like, Tony's just, season two, he's just, like, he's depressed and seeing a psychiatrist,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I've just watched the episode where Tony's sister shot the new boyfriend.
Well, don't tell us. Spoiler alert.
Warning, warning.
Yeah.
How many times have you watched the whole thing?
I think maybe three or four times in total, all the way through.
So you think I should stick with it? I shouldn't give it up?
I cannot believe that you got to season two and you don't like it, that you're not totally hooked. I'm actually stunned. I think it's the best, without question, the best TV program that has ever been made.
I don't know.
Well, what's better?
Off the top of my head, well, can't think of anything, really.
Oh, come on, there must be something. What's your favourite TV show of all time? Come on.
Yes? What was that one? I can't remember now. You caught me on the hop, man.
Darren, do you just not like television?
No, I do. I just don't think they make them like they used to, you know.
Well, they certainly don't make them like they used to in regards to The Sopranos. Nothing has ever been as good as that since. Nothing.
I like Line of Duty. Line of Duty was pretty good.
Is that a British thing?
Yeah.
I don't really watch British TV. It's always disappointing. There's always ugly people moaning. What do you want to do that for? Like that.
Well, yeah, there's a good storyline, you know. I will stick with it.
Right.
But it's hard going at the minute.
Well, I've got something else for you. If The Sopranos doesn't work, and I'll be absolutely shocked and stunned if it doesn't. Then how about Breaking Bad? Have you seen that?
I watched about the first three episodes of that.
And you didn't like that either?
No.
Oh, Darren, you are seriously disappointing me.
I know, sorry, mate.
I think you should listen to another show. Maybe this is not a show for you. Did you ever think of that?
No, as I said, I listen all the time, but, I think me and you might have different TV types.
Yeah, we certainly do. Okay, well, I hope that it all works out for you in the end there, Darren. I won't spoil it for you by telling you that everybody dies in the end.
Okay, well, after I watch it, if you're interested in a deluxe box set DVD, I'll sell it to you too.
Okay, well, let me think about that. All right, thanks a lot, Darren. I can't believe it. I mean, I've heard people watch the first episode and think, nah. But not all the way into season two and still not like it. But, you know, everybody can't like everything. There's some people who don't like Dark Side of the Moon.
What?
I know. That has to be true. I've never met one, but there's bound to be someone. Nigel says, Nick, have you heard that the Vast Emperor, also known as the Scar of Iran, has renamed the Strait of Hormuz to be the Strain of Trump? No, I did not hear that. And there's nothing straight about it. And, by the way, there's apparently nothing straight about the new Atolla. But I'll get to that in a while. 0345-6060-973. Witham, Alex.
Hi, Nick. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
So I want to talk about Trump getting these strange briefings in, like, two-minute clips of things getting blown up.
Oh, yeah.
So, because I saw this on the news, and it got me thinking, right, what if we were somehow able to substitute that footage with the one from Independence Day? Of the White House getting blown up.
Yes.
Do you think he would believe it?
It depends whether he's in it at the time.
Yeah, so at Mar-a-Lago, I think he would definitely believe it and he'd start panicking, but in the White House, I reckon he would as well, actually.
Well, quite possibly, yeah.
Depends on how rotted his brain is, I suppose.
Yes, it is alarming that a man who has apparently no relationship with reality at all is currently running the world.
Yeah, but it's on these strange two-minute clips of explosions.
Yeah.
That he's seemingly now taken the decision to send more troops to Iran.
Yes.
If possible,
mm-hmm.
Reported by some American media outlets, that
yeah.
another 10,000 troops are going to be sent.
That's right, you lucky, lucky people.
I noticed that Baron Trump isn't among them.
No, he's not. No, he's too tall.
No, Dracula's not going.
Plus, he has a note from his doctor, and he's busy constructing the Death Star.
Yeah, so, well, sucking the blood out of people.
He's very, very busy, yeah.
He's got a bit of the darkness about him.
He certainly does. I've mentioned it more than once, yeah. All right.
There is one more thing.
One more thing.
Because of this war is costing huge amounts of money.
Yeah.
It was reported a few days ago or last week that the US Treasury is now insolvent.
Well, what does that mean?
It means they can't meet their costs.
Oh, yes, they can. They just magic money out of thin air and use that.
You'd think they would, but it is the Treasury saying they no longer have the funds to meet all of these costs.
Mm.
And then you've got Trump starting another forever war.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing that wars make a lot of, and it's money for a small number of individuals. So keep that in mind.
That is certainly true.
Yeah. All right. Good work, Alex. Thanks for that. Yeah, this is reported in The Independent. There's a possible explanation as to why Donald Trump believes the Iran war is going well. In the weeks since U.S. President Trump and Israel launched a war on Iran, Trump has continued to insist that things are going well for the U.S., despite the loss of U.S. service members, escalating violence, the rise in the price of oil and everything that entails, and the deployment of more U.S. troops.
Everything is going tremendously well, and it's going well at levels that no one has ever seen before.
Meanwhile, Trump has simultaneously asked U.S. allies for help, suggested that the war is over and the U.S. no longer needs their help, and claimed that the war has been won. A report from NBC News has proposed an explanation as to why Trump believes the war is going so well, and it's because Trump is allegedly being shown daily video montages of the biggest, most successful strikes. It's like we've given a toddler an iPad and told him to play video games. The report says U.S. military officials compile a video update for President Donald Trump that shows footage of the biggest, most successful strikes on Iranian targets over the previous 48 hours. According to a source, the video is typically made of clips of, quote, stuff blowing up.
We're blowing things up bigly and huge and blowing things up very strongly and with great strength.
His rat-a-tat, angry spice spokesmodel Caroline Levitt said, "That's an absolutely false assertion coming from somebody who has not been present in the room. Anybody who has been present for conversations with President Trump knows he's actively seeking and solicits the opinions of everyone in the room and expects full-throated honesty from all of his advisors." Yeah. That's not true any more than anything else she says is true. And God's not fooled by that cross, by the way. And those people, they just sit around. "My honest opinion, Mr. President, sir, is that you are the most handsome and smart person that ever sat in a chair. Not that chair, any chair. No one sits in a chair like you, Mr. President, sir, and thank you for the shoes." The NBC News report claimed that the videos are also driving Trump's increasing frustration with news coverage of the war. Yeah, because in his constructed reality that he slumps in, nothing bad is happening because no one around him has the nerve to tell him otherwise. If you spend your entire day in a false reality that's been constructed to make you feel good, then actual reality is going to seem a little harsh. So it's like we've got a bus driver who's convinced that the road bridge that isn't finished yet is completely built because the map he's using says it is. And no passenger has the nerve to point out that there's a huge gap that the bus is going to fall through because they don't want to be told to get out and walk. What a way to run a planet, eh?
Dreadful.
0345-6060-973, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10, Nick Abbott, LBC.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
Donald Trump has a plan for Iran, or rather, he has several plans simultaneously. These are not four stages of a coherent strategy. They are four different instincts from four different conversations from a president who appears to have no sense of what he's doing.
Hear every side of the story.
Does the British government think that obliterating Iranian power stations is a good or bad idea?
That is speculation.
He's made the threat. I'm just asking whether the British government thinks it's a good or bad idea. Quite a simple question.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
I'm Natasha, and this is my NHS story. I went to the GP because I'd found a lump in my breast, and the GP referred me to a CDC centre. It was just really welcoming from the moment I arrived. To just be reassured all in one day was fantastic.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres, with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
Our pets in a pickle. We're here when it matters most. For fuss-free pet insurance policies as unique as they are. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
JP Morgan Personal Investing gives you the clarity to make more informed decisions on your investments, which is great because right now something else just became crystal clear. Your kid just outgrew the kids menu. Now he's ordering a truffle gnocchi. You consider making a don't gnocchi it till you try it joke, but now's not the time. Now's the time to grow his world, one bite at a time. Search JP Morgan Personal Investing. Invest with clarity. Capital at risk.
A Thames Link train is a place where you can wind down and catch up. A chance to let conversations flow and plans unfold. And swap doomscrolling for telling stories too good for the group chat. Make the journey part of the joy and save 1/3 with off-peak group tickets at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
Pain in my hip. I keep feeling dizzy. I'm getting migraines more often.
There's another way to contact your GP practice, by simply sending your symptoms and requests through their website or the NHS app. We're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Tap it, type it, and we'll take care of it.
Julia, how do you spell vertebrae?
Oh, just type pain in the neck.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Are you trying to tell me that this is your act?
Junior says, so let me get this straight. The gentleman that I was just talking to some moments ago bought a box set which costs 10 quid more than a second-hand TV, but watched two seasons and still doesn't like The Sopranos. Is there anything Darren likes? Asks Junior. And that was a question that I posed to Darren, if indeed that was his name. I forget so many things these days. Yeah, it was only a couple of minutes ago, but I've already wiped from my mind. But if indeed that was his name, is there anything that Darren actually likes? And that is a question that I posed to him, and answer came there none. Apart from Call of Duty or Line of Duty or whatever that was. Which I think I saw a still picture of and decided at that moment that I didn't want anything to do with it. It looked like a typical British TV programme. Grey, miserable and depressing. I bet it was about murder. I bet it was about murdering women. Aren't they always? Weird that that is our favourite form of entertainment. Watching people try to get away with murdering women. Bizarre, ain't it? Nigel says, have you heard that the vast... no, read that one. Sheba says, our Sir Keir is as stubborn as an old goat, and that's what we read... And that's what we need right now, and that's what we want. So there, says Sheba. I do believe that I made that exact same point some while ago. Dorset, hello, Jeff.
Good evening, Nick.
Jeff.
The earlier caller that mentioned the fact that there should be some sort of canal through that lump of the Emirates that sticks into the Straits of Hormuz.
Yeah.
I 24 years ago, on a two-day stopover in Dubai on my way back from Australia, I spent one of the days going on a guided tour of the less well-off state, shall we say.
Oh, yeah.
And that the bit that sticks up into the Straits of Hormuz, they had a plan to actually start constructing such a canal in order to avoid the situation we've got right now. And I wondered if anyone knows why it never went ahead. I'm just wondering whether the money launderers in Dubai felt that they would be usurped as the leading emirate, because obviously there'd be some hefty fees coming, I would think, transiting that canal.
Well, it would make more sense to take it through by Dubai, because it's right there, isn't it? Dubai is right there.
If you look at a map...
Yes, I am looking at a map right now.
Right. You see the lump that sticks up from the Emirates? I can't remember the name of the Emirates that it actually is.
It's Oman.
No.
Yeah,
no, you're wrong.
No, I don't think so.
It's Kaziri Al something or other. It's one of the states of the United Arab Emirates, and it is the one of the least well-off, shall we say.
Very, very difficult to say, United Arab Emirates. They should have called it something else.
Anyway, does anyone know why that lump exists without a channel through the bottom of it so that it avoids the Straits of Hormuz?
Well, we're certainly going to...
It's a simple question.
It's a simple question, and it's one to which I have no answer, because I wasn't aware that this question was going to be posed, but I will have a full and frank report on your desk first thing in the morning, Jeff.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I think it's Oman, isn't it? I think it's a bit weird, because Oman finishes, and then there's another little bit on the end, and I think it's Oman again. But I can't be entirely certain because, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about on this or any other subject.
Correct.
Tom in Southsea says, Nick, if dumb old Flump thinks our military is so bad, then why does he cry when we don't send it to join his illegal war with Israel? That's a good point. Why is he whining so much that we're not helping him out if we would be only helping him out with what he thinks of as toys? Toys. Bigness ain't everything, Donnie. I know that'll come as a surprise to you. What with that whole Arnold Palmer situation you keep going on about. Robin in the New Forest says, Hi, Nick. Malaria, when asked by reporters what she would feel if her husband, as commander-in-chief, had to visit the frontline US troops in the Gulf and be in harm's way, she said she wouldn't care. That's not true, is it? Your wife doesn't care about you, Donnie.
I don't care.
See, does not care. Not remotely interested. I bet that never happened. Let's see now. Who's been waiting the longest? It is Tywin, West Wales. Hello, Martin.
Hello, Nick. Am I on now?
What?
Am I on your show now?
What?
Am I on your show now, live?
There you are, yes.
Ah, there I am. Anyway, Nick, lovely to speak to you. I don't want to be... Wait for this one. I've got your sound bites on my internet at the moment. Do you hear that?
No.
Oh, try again then.
No, don't. I should have said yes, just to get it over with. Yes, 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 yes.
No.
No. All right, thanks a lot, Martin. I've got no idea. this show was like this when I got here. Bound to have been. This text says, Trump really thinks a few thousand troops will be enough to defeat Iran, a country the size of Western Europe. Good luck with that, Donnie. Yeah, there's about 90 million people. 1 million of them are heavily armed up to the eyeballs and are keen to protect the regime. I could put it in his terms.
What the hell is going on?
Exactly. Does anybody know what the hell is going on? Is there a plan? Is there anybody that has come up with a strategy of any kind?
There's no strategy. I have no strategy. There's zero strategy.
Well, that is comforting. As long as no one knows what we're doing. But we're getting there at top speed. Merthyr Tydfil. Hello, Jeff.
Oh, Nick. How are you doing, boy?
Great, mate.
Okay. News from Wales. They've announced the reform candidates.
Yeah.
As last. They're the last to come, I suspect, from the fact that they can't find reasonable people.
Are you talking about Corey Edwards?
Yeah, well, it was. There's one guy. Is that the? I'm not sure. Was he the one Downer's number one for the Bridgend area?
He was a Reform UK candidate for the Welsh Senate elections in May. Don't know.
And anyway, he was announced on Tuesday, and today he withdrew because of his mental health.
Yeah, that's Corey Edwards. Yes.
So, this is just one of many that they've just had everybody's had a chance to have a look at because the vetting system in reform.
Vetting system. You're funny, Jeff.
Yeah, well, anyway.
It's like, do you have a lapel that can support a light blue rosette? Great, you're in.
Well, there's absolute chaos going on down here, and they fight in like rats in the sack over the who's going to be number one.
Yeah.
In the Merthyr area, the guy actually resigned from standing and from the party because they brought some other bloke over from Torvine, and he's number one in this incredibly complicated system that they got, the Deloitte system. Nobody knows what's going to happen. You know this furor that was going on about you know they got this.
You're just making noises now, Jeff.
Sorry. You know they make it about the Navy? You know, how many ships have they got?
Oh, in the Navy, you can sail the seven seas. In the Navy.
That's the one. Well, everybody's making a big fuss about having this ship. Haven't anybody realised that most of the Russian fleet is at the bottom of the Black Sea because of drones? And I read somewhere that an Estonian company is setting up a factory in Poland. The Poles, by the way, have now made their citizens available for the Ukrainian army.
They've made them available? What does that mean?
Well, before, it would have been illegal for a Pole to fight for Ukraine.
Okay,
no, it's not.
Right, okay. They're not being persuaded to do that. They're being invited if they want.
Yes.
Yeah.
An Estonian company is setting up in Poland to produce 10,000 drones every so often, which are intercepting drones. The Germans are determined to make themselves the biggest army in Europe.
The Germans?
Yep, Germany. Germany is mobilizing. And this is representative of the fact that Europe is intended to be thrown under the Russian bus by Trump, who thinks that Putin will have the run of Europe. He will have the run of North and South America, and China can run the East. This whole thing
this whole thing.
Yeah, pick your new boss. It's not too dissimilar to the old boss. Get the Who on the line and they'll sing it to us. Yeah, that all sounds very, very alarming and depressing in equal measure, Jeff. It's exactly what I would have expected from a phone call from you. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. All right, got to go. Thanks a lot, mate. 0345 6060973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock. President Trump says Iran is on the run and is no longer the bully of the Middle East. He's been speaking during an event in Miami, while Tehran has said it will allow shipments of humanitarian aid to pass through the Strait of Hormuz. But the shipping route remains effectively closed, preventing the passage of around 20% of the world's oil supplies. Robert Fox is the defense editor at the London Standard. He's been telling LBC some worrying indications have been developing.
As much as the White House likes to say it'll be over in a few weeks. And just outside Paris, Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, has tried to imply, oh, yes, we'll get talks underway and we'll be out of this in a week or two. For me, it's horribly reminiscent of the kind of brave talk that we had in Vietnam in the 60s.
A man's died after a missile struck the Israeli city of Tel Aviv. The country's emergency service says he was thought to be in his 60s. It's also believed at least 10 U.S. service members have been injured during a missile strike on a Saudi air base. Two officials are also saying that several planes were damaged. The golfer Tiger Woods has been arrested and charged with driving under the influence after his car was involved in a crash in Florida. Police in Jupiter Island say a Land Rover, which he was driving, tried to overtake a truck before swerving and rolling onto its side. Parents are being advised to limit screen time for children who are under five to just 1 hour a day. The government's released its first ever guidance, which also says that bedtimes and meal times should be device free. And in sport this evening and in football, England have drawn 1-1 with Uruguay in their friendly tonight. It was played at Wembley and LBC's David Dom was watching.
Thomas Tuchel said he was absolutely okay with this performance, despite very little created in front of the 80,000 fans here, as he left out some key names to give others the chance to get their seat on the plane for this summer. Arsenal defender Ben White scoring and giving away a late penalty on his first England game in 4 years will make headlines. But was that the final opportunity for some of these players to secure their place in the final squad? David Dom, LBC, Wembley.
LBC weather, scattered showers across England and Wales overnight, but also rain and hill snow in Scotland and Northern Ireland. We'll see a low of around 2 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Is he crazy or is that just the way he acts? And I like him. He's a good man. He is not a racist. I can tell you that. He's a good person.
Thanks, Tony. You're the best. We've drew 1-1 with Uruguay. Wherever that is. Uruguay. I mean, how many people live in Uruguay?
Maybe four?
Four people. They couldn't even make an entire football team. And we still drew 1-1. How embarrassing. Still, I'm sure it'll all come right in the end. Yeah. You know what, with our history of it coming right in the end. Robert in the New Forest says, look, no, read that one. I must delete as I read. Otherwise, I keep reading the same thing over and over. George says, George from Portugal here. How come your show attracts the nation's nutters to call? What's the matter with you? Keep it up, says George. I most certainly will do nothing of the sort. And Tom in Southsea says, Nick, if a dumb old flump thinks our military is so bad, why does he cry when we... read that one as well. God, they're all over the place. And do you think Farage is more scared of refugees arriving in Dover or getting interrogated by James O'Brien again? He's never going to make that mistake again, is he? He is never going to sit down for an interview with James O'Brien. I bet he still wakes up sweating in the middle of the night, just thinking about it. Brentwood. Hello, Catherine.
Hello?
Catherine.
Hello. Oh, I'd like to see that interview. Hear it. I'd like to hear it.
What?
I'd like to hear the interview between James O'Brien.
Oh, the interview. Oh, that is still available on the World Wide Web. I betcha, betcha, betcha. It is amusing watching it, Catherine. Trust me.
Anyway, I was just ringing up to say that you've been talking about The Sopranos. And
yeah.
So, you know, for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to find it, and I found it on Prime, Amazon Prime. And
oh, yeah.
The first episode, I had to pay £2 something, and I thought, oh, no. I'll pay $9.99 for the first season.
Yes. You're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. You're welcome. You're welcome to it. I watched the first episode.
Yeah.
And half the second.
Uh-huh.
And all, it was like effing and blinding and blowing things up.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I'm not going to watch anymore. And I thought, well, I don't know. Perhaps I will. Tell me I should watch it.
You should watch it, Catherine.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, of course you should. You can't ditch the greatest show that has ever been made because you didn't like the first episode and a half.
I like him. I think he's quite lovely, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know.
In a sort of murdery kind of way.
Yeah. Well, he looks nice. But see, I've just come from watching the whole series of Poldark. Now, you probably never watched that.
Poldark?
Oh, God. It's set in the Cornwall in the 1700s. So it's historical and it's
historical.
And the scenery, the beautiful, beautiful,
beautiful scenery. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. There's romance and there's fighting.
Well,
you
lost me at romance.
Yeah, I know that. But there's fighting. But you'd like that. But coming from that to The Sopranos,
yes.
I just wasn't ready. I just wasn't ready for it. But I did like Breaking Bad.
Ah. Well, at least we're getting somewhere.
I thought that was the best thing ever, Breaking Bad. And I also finished watching 126 episodes of a load of American BS, but it was absolutely good. It's got an English actor in it called Freddie Highmore. It's called The Good Doctor.
And
I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's
No,
you probably wouldn't like it.
Is that the guy that did the TV version of Psycho?
I don't know. His name's Freddie Highmore. He used to be, I think he was the kid and child in the chocolate factory, I think. But he's grown up now. He's about the 24 or something now.
When you say Charlotte and the Chocolate Factory, you don't mean Gene Wilder? No.
No, not that one. No. His name's Freddie Highmore. He's an English actor, but he's played it in America. It was called The Good Doctor.
Because I think that he was the main character in the TV version of Psycho, which was pretty good, actually. I quite like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Pretty Highmore.
Well, you keep saying that, but I think my glamorous assistant has given me the thumbs up on that, but that does ring a bell.
Yeah. No, that wouldn't be your type of thing. No, it wouldn't be your type of thing.
Right.
But 126 episodes took me a few weeks.
But a few weeks.
I just finished watching that as well, then I watched Poldark, and then I went on to Sopranos, but... you think I should give it a go? That guy that rung up and said he didn't like it, his name was Darren.
Mm-hmm.
The guy whose name you didn't remember, he didn't like it. And he went and bought a television and a player, and I thought, what?
I
don't know why he couldn't find it on... he couldn't find... Mind you, it would cost him more. I don't know how many seasons there are in Soprano.
Six,
so that would cost me... If I'm to buy the lot, that cost me £60. So that would be,
That is quite a lot of money. Yeah, but it's quite a lot of money for the best series that has ever been on television.
You really say that?
I am saying that.
I'm actually going to, look at it.
Right.
I'm actually going to look at it so I can ring up one day maybe and say, you were right.
Yeah, as long as you say that.
thank you for your show.
Okay. Well, thank you for thanking me.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it, Catherine. Thank you. Brian says, Nick, at his open cabinet meeting yesterday, Trump started doing an impression of some of your favourite soundbites. I was actually expecting him to say, if you get it in order, you get extra points. Yeah, he was going on about passing that stupid test again, which is a test of... It's not a test of how smart you are. It's a test of whether you are mentally competent enough to operate heavy machinery.
And it was 30 or 35 questions. The first questions are very easy. The last questions are much more difficult, like a memory question. It's... like you'll go person, woman, man, camera, TV. So they say, could you repeat that? So I said, yeah. So it's woman, camera, TV. Okay, that's very good. If you get it in order, you get extra points. Okay, now he's asking you other questions. And then 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes later, they say, remember the first question? Not the first, but the 10th question? Give us that again. Can you do that again? And you go, woman, man, person, man, camera, TV. If you get it in order, you get extra points. They said, nobody gets it in order. It's actually not that easy, but for me, it was easy. And that's not an easy question. In other words, they ask it to you, they give you five names, and you have to repeat them, and that's okay. If you repeat them out of order, it's okay, but you know, it's not as good. But then when you go back about 20, 25 minutes later and they say, go back to that question. They don't tell you this. Go back to that question and repeat them. Can you do it? And you go, camera, man, person, woman, TV. They say, that's amazing. How did you do that? I do it because I have, like, a good memory, because I'm... cognitively there.
He is cognitively there.
I'm a very stable genius.
And stable, too. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States of America.
A president! Can you believe it?
Mr. President, sir, what are groceries?
Groceries, 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 groceries. It sort of says a bag with different things in it.
It's a bag with different things in it. Wow, you are acing this test, Mr. President, sir. What does it sound like when Avon are calling?
Bing bong!
Correct, Amundo. Well, you have been so successful at this test.
I've been successful in every business I've been in.
Every business he's been in. Verifiably not true. But that's what's so alarming is he creates this reality for himself and he believes that that is now reality. Because nobody says, no, that's not right. Ever. Nobody says that to him. Ever. Because they're fearful of the unhinged response. He'll just start lashing out and he'll spend the rest of his life trying to get back at you. He'll use America as a weapon against you. So nobody says no to him. And so he's just allowed to sit there and construct this alternate reality. The only person with Trump derangement syndrome is Donald Blumin Trump.
Don't be rude.
0345-6060-973. San Francisco. Hello, Claire.
Hi, Nick. How are you today?
Good, thanks.
Good. Good to chat with you. I would like to call in and share what I saw reported happened at CPAC today.
Now, tell us what CPAC is for those who don't know.
For those who don't know, well, it's actually a Klan meeting without the burning crosses and white sheep. Actually,
that's correct. Yes.
Thanks. Actually, it's the Conservative Political Action Convention that occurs every year. And your well-informed assistant shared with me that Lewis Goodall is there at this time. So you'll probably be hearing from him because he's directly in the room if he can stand it.
Right. Well, right. As long as he can get past security, and I wouldn't put money on that.
That's right. So CPAC is the organization that the MAGA movement sprung up from.
Yeah.
And they meet every year, and this year, rightfully enough, they're in Texas. And one of the speakers today was a man by the name of Matt Slapp. Do you know that name?
Matt Slapp. It's a name heard once and never forgotten. I don't know what he does. What does he do?
Well, I think he used to be the head of CPAC. He's a big leader in the Republican Party.
Right.
He is also, to let you know a little bit about his personality, has been accused of sexual harassment in the workplace by a male assistant.
Right.
Anyway, so Matt Schlapp was at the podium today, and he turned to the crowd, which is getting smaller every year, and said, "Who wants to see impeachment procedures?" And a big cheer went up from the audience.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, but he didn't mean impeachment for Trump.
No. Right. And he looked very dead-eyed into the camera and said, "Wrong answer."
Matt Schlapp is causing you grief, Donnie.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
He'd like to punch Matt Schlapp in the face.
That's right. So after he said wrong answer, he said, "I'm going to ask the question again. How many would like to see impeachment proceedings?" And there was a kind of a minor groan out of the audience. Not nearly as big as the cheer, though. I thought that was great.
Yeah, but they didn't know what they were cheering for, obviously, did they?
No. Well, they love the poorly educated.
They certainly do. They give and they give and they give. Yeah. Have you bought yourself a Donald Trump real fake gold watch?
No, but I understand on the pictures I've seen, all that merchandise is for sale in the lobby at the convention.
Yeah, no doubt. Yes. Okay, well, I'll send you an official Donald Trump Christmas bauble in the post. It'll be with you by Christmas. All right.
I can't wait. Okay. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks a lot, Claire. That offer, by the way, not available. Dino in Sheffield says, "What with the price of fuel these days, I thought I'd do a runner from the garage, so I put in 50 quid's worth and drove off without paying. I got caught, though. I'd run out of petrol before I left the forecourt." These are the jokes, folks. Funny, no?
No.
And Bill says, "The supreme misleader first began unleashing swathes of chaos to the world over 9 years ago, and he's still the main subject of every conversation on your show. I'm very disappointed, and it's depressing me. You need to be punished. Spank you for your extension to this chatter," says Bill. "Thank you, sir. May I have another?" Yeah, well, you know, he just by force of the force of his personality and the role he occupies, he is at the top of every news bulletin. And I can't think of anybody in history who has ever managed that. I mean, day after day after day after day. It's absolutely extraordinary, isn't it? Because nobody has been that unhinged. I mean, I can't think of anybody who has been that sort of predictably unpredictable. He just changed his mind about everything, depending on the direction of the wind. You never know what he's going to say next. And I can't think of anybody in history, certainly in my lifetime, that is like that. You wake up in the morning and think, "God, I wonder what they've said now." You open your phone and, you know, in previous times it would be getting the morning newspaper or listening to the news on the radio. And you think, "Oh, God, what's he done now?" There's nobody in history that's ever been like that. I mean, there's been more evil people, no doubt. But they had a certain sort of steely determination and a plan, some sort of strategy. But there is no strategy with him. There is no plan. That there is no plan is the plan. Just makes it up. He's winging it, is what he's doing. And we're to suffer through it as best we can. 0345-6060-973. Have I taken a break yet? One moment, let's check on that. So, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, hang on a minute. You've got to scroll down so far. No, I have not.
This is LBC.
Jay here knows that Zoopla can provide valuations for any home in the UK, so we can see what that new couple across the road might have paid.
Ooh la la.
Have a nose at what the curtain twitchers next door could sell for. And even see what his own place is worth.
Cool, look at that.
Plus, Zoopla lets you find and compare local estate agents if you do decide to sell up. Think of all those new neighbours you'll be able to snoop on, Jay. If you want to know, just ask Zoopla.
With a gift in your will to UNICEF, you'll know that the job of making a better world for every child is in good hands. It'll be the start of an incredible journey, connecting you with a powerful community of people working tirelessly to protect and nurture children so they're empowered to take on the world. To find out more about leaving a gift in your will that never stops working for children, search UNICEF Legacy for a free guide today.
It's not easy being a clamp stuck on the wheel of the one person on the street who didn't tax their car. Yeah, Graham at number 7, I'm talking about you. Bet the neighbourhood group chat is as well. Wish I had a group chat. Maybe I can chat to myself.
Hi, Clampy. How's it going?
Not great, Clampy. Being clamped to the only untaxed car for miles is so lonely.
Over 98% of drivers tax their vehicle on time. Tax it. Don't risk it. Visit gov.uk/DVLA/taxit.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Listen to him. He knows everything.
Chippenham. Hello, Karen.
Oh, hello, Nick. Hello, good evening.
Karen.
Well, after Trump's entertaining cabinet meeting yesterday, I was wondering if it's time that someone invoked the 25th Amendment and relieve Donald Trump of the burden of being leader of the free world. Then he can go and maybe have a nice golfing holiday and at the same time give us a break.
Yes. I think that, well, that has been much discussed, and it's when somebody is mentally incompetent to carry on as the President of the United States of America. But I think if somebody was going to do that, they'd have done it already.
I'm just sort of keeping my fingers crossed that sometime soon one of the cabinet's going to be brave enough to come forward, and then maybe all the others will rush behind him.
Well, I think the blood is going to be cut off from the end of your finger if you keep your fingers crossed for that long.
Meanwhile, I've noticed that Liz Truss, you know, she used to be Prime Minister of the UK.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
She seems to have gone a bit quiet, and I was wondering if she was embarrassed, and not only at having championed Donald Trump, but also she stood on the stage with Steve Bannon at a CPAC meeting in America a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But then, lo and behold, Liz Truss popped up at today's CPAC meeting in Texas.
Did she?
And she reiterated her support, well, according to something I saw, I hope I'm imagining it, but she came to reiterate her support for Trump and expand on her favourite conspiracy theories. And then she suggested that there should be a Trump-style revolution in Europe. And I was just wondering if maybe someone's put something in her Sauvignon Blanc.
I think maybe she's got a Russian hat screwed on too tight.
Oh, yes, do you know, I'd forgotten about that, but that was when she was slightly more sane, wasn't it?
Not
that she could do her job, because she couldn't, obviously.
Yeah, no, I don't know whether she was slightly more sane than she is at the moment. It's we'd have to come to an agreement about how sane she is right now, but I'll sum up her arguments for you. keep your eyes peeled, Karen, thanks for that. 0345-6060-973. This text says, believe it or not, Trump used to sell water with his face on the bottle. Really? And that didn't succeed. I am stunned. Clive in Australia says, Nick, Mad Max is happening. Driving from Sydney to Melbourne yesterday, there were empty fuel stations everywhere and all the petrol jerry cans are sold out. Hide your fuel, says Clive. Well, I've seen that film. And, wow, the mayhem. Very entertaining. Particularly the, not the one that just came out, which was terrible, you know, came out end of last year. That was very, very boring. Very surprisingly dull, actually, considering that the one before that, Thunder Road, was that what it was called? Oh, it was utterly epic. One of the best action films ever, because it's just all action. There isn't anything else going on in that film other than huge explosions and modified cars flying through the air. It's just great. Malcolm in Bodmin says, why haven't you got a message, deleter? Nick, you moron. They are easy to appoint. James O'Brien has a team. has a team of them deflecting sensible texts all morning. Well, I could only dream of having a team. God, wouldn't that be marvellous? Bristol. Hello, Tiago.
Oh, hi, Nick. How's it going?
Great, mate.
I'm just calling to talk about Hampshire's Most Wanted. I'm filled with national pride, given that a capybara recently escaped the Morwell Zoo.
A capybara escaped the where?
A zoo in Hampshire. I think it's Morwell that you say it.
A capybara.
Yeah, what? Do you know what they are?
I'm going to look that up right now. I'm going to guess capybara. I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, almost there. I can send you a picture.
Capybara. I do believe that is exactly what I said. Completely correct in every respect. It looks like a big, fat rat.
Well, I don't know. Maybe some of the regular listeners might notice that I've been on a campaign to bring capybaras to your awareness. So I jumped this opportunity.
Well, you can bring them to my awareness, just as long as you don't bring them to my area. Because that thing looks horrible.
Well, they are as invasive as parakeets, I assure you that.
Oh, well, I hate those with a passion.
Oh, but I was trying, you know, like, I love how you light up every time we talk about quokkas.
Quokkas, so cute. But these things, I don't like the look of their face. Their whole nose area is too big.
Well,
somebody should do something about that.
It should stop body shaming rodents, Nick. That's not cool.
Well, that's true, yeah. So, sorry about that whole body shaming the rat thing.
Well, we can move on from capybaras. Feels like they're not going to stick on your cute list.
Well, hang on a minute. Hampshire Zoo capybara escape mirrors incident 30 years ago. What's this? This sounds very suspicious. A capybara's escape from a zoo has striking similarities to an incident that occurred 30 years ago. 9-month-old Samba escaped from Marwell Zoo near Winchester in Hampshire earlier this month alongside her sister Tango. Tango! Tango was found nearby, but the search for Samba is now in its second week despite multiple sightings. Huh.
I mean, why are there still to be proud. Yeah. I don't know what else.
Why are there still zoos in the country? I'm a little mystified about that. Why do we still have zoos? What's that about?
Well, some people still defend the conservation angle, but I'm no longer on the fence. I'm of the idea that we shouldn't keep animals in captivity for our amusement, and the conservation can be done on their habitat.
Yeah, that makes more sense to me.
But I'm very fun at parties, so, you know, it's, I'm that kind of guy. Talking of national pride, I also can't help but do a little bit of national pride every time I hear from Girl of Ipanema when you're about to do the weather.
Oh, yes.
And I wonder whether, you know, I don't want to get a little bit too parasocial here, but I wonder whether it's some sort of like inside joke about singing a sunny and light song when you're about to, you know, indulge us with the beautiful UK weather.
It's just instinctual. Whenever I'm put on hold, I feel that the music is almost always The Girl from Ipanema. If it's not that, then it's Greensleeves or, you know, something of that order. And I'd rather just do The Girl from Ipanema without thinking about it than trying to remember how Greensleeves goes.
Oh, now we know. But, you know, I've been dying to expand your humming repertoire.
Right.
So would you... I mean, I always hesitate to talk about music with you because you're such an authority.
That is true, yes. I'm very authoritarian when it comes to music.
Yeah, particularly if you're not talking about Bowie or Pink Floyd. But I would highly recommend that you check out the song. It's called Baby. And I know it sounds silly, but it's by Gal Costa. Yeah, it's by Gal Costa and Caetano Veloso. And it's also Tropicália. And
You said all that way too quickly. I have no idea what you just said. It's by who now?
The singer is called Gal Costa. I'll send you a link as well just now.
Oh, that's okay.
And with Caetano Veloso, which he's still alive and winning a lot of...
See, now you know what you're saying, but nobody else knows what you're saying, and it just went by too quick. Something like that. I'll look that up later. I'll ask artificial intelligence. Have you got the one that goes... like that? I'll Shazam myself singing. See what happens.
That could work. Could work. But talking about invasive species, because capybaras are very much so. Have you seen what the previous most beloved invasive species in the UK took up to vice? You know, there's been footage of grey squirrels vaping recently. What has the world?
There's been footage of grey squirrels vaping. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, I feel like
vaping.
Now, vaping, you know, like, you know, those e-cigarettes.
Vaping.
I guess now that they lost the status of, you know, being the favorite invasive species of the country, they just decided to live their life freely, not put up the cute act no more.
Yeah, that's right. Pretty soon they'll be mugging us as we come out of Tesco's for our shopping.
Yeah, it's stealing all the fuel.
Yeah. Well, my glamorous assistant's just popped up a couple of pictures. Two different squirrels, as far as I'm aware. Both of them are vaping as I look at them. Well, that is alarming. Yeah, they're going to be writing squirrel graffiti on your house next.
Yeah, well, talking of alarming, have you also seen, you know, the Queen fembot, Melania, walking alongside a humanoid robot earlier this week?
And could you tell the difference one to the other? Which one looks more plastic? Be honest.
Definitely the First Lady. Right. It just got me thinking, Nick, you know, like, how her level of apathy to everything,
yeah,
you know.
Well, if you were married to Donald Trump, Tiago, you would have given up on life as well.
Well, but that's what I'm thinking here. You know, maybe it's a bit tinfoil hat, but recently, this week, we've been seeing also reports of robots going crazy. There's been one recently in a restaurant in California that started thrashing around the plates, and in Macau, this 70-year-old woman got scared by one and got arrested. I think the uprising is upon us. And
wait a minute, the robot got arrested?
Yes.
They arrested a robot?
They have. You know, there's footage. Look it up.
No, I most certainly will do nothing of the sort. I will take your word for it.
Absolutely.
I don't tell lies. Not on air.
Okay.
So it got me thinking of, I don't think a human could tolerate being with Donald Trump for that long.
Yeah.
And you know how rich people always have access to cutting edge technology?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Isn't she one of them?
She seems a little bit on the robotic side.
Affirmative.
Yes. Somebody should, I don't know, maybe unplug her. Turn her off and on again. See what happens. Thanks a lot, Tiago. Got to go. 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC. It's just past 11:30. The news headlines with Tim Daly.
Russia says its foreign minister has been discussing the possibility of a diplomatic settlement to the war in Iran with his counterpart in Tehran. Sergei Lavrov's department says there was an exchange of views with Abbas Araghchi. It's believed at least 10 U.S. service members have been injured during a missile strike on a Saudi base. Two officials also say several planes were damaged. And the golfer Tiger Woods has been arrested and charged with driving under the influence after his car was involved in a crash in Florida. Police in Jupiter Island say a Land Rover, which he was driving, swerved and rolled onto its side. LBC weather, scattered showers for England and Wales overnight and rain and hill snow across parts of Scotland and Northern Ireland. We'll see a low of around 2 degrees.
This is LBC.
Thanks for the key deliverables, David. Now, who'd like to
stay out all night? Yahoo!
That's brilliant. So, okay, sales targets. Are we hitting
it? The dance floor!
There's more than one you, and with Specsavers 2-for-1, you can choose glasses for at least two use. From £70 with standard single-vision lenses.
Nice moves, David!
Book an appointment at specsavers.co.uk. Conditions apply.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 99 1234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Wellness. What even is wellness? Cleanses, routines, regimes, biohacks, stacks, schedules, procedures, programs. I suppose so. But can it just be a cup of... Pucker Herbal Tea. Ah, pucker. Nothing beats nature.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
Remember, darling, I don't work before 10 in the morning and never after 4:30 in the afternoon.
Those are my strict rules. Newark. Hello, Quentin.
Oh, good evening, Nick. Hi.
Quentin.
Hi. Hello. First of all, can I say on behalf of a grateful nation, thank you ever so much for keeping us all sane in these crazy times.
Too much pressure. Don't say that.
We need your weekly dose of mockery, thank you. But I've got a question for you, Nick, and I suspect I already know the answer to this question. But did you listen to the Archers this evening?
No.
Yeah.
Was that the answer you were expecting?
I was.
Right.
But you should have done, because The Sopranos, your favourite programme of all time, got a name check tonight on the greatest radio drama of all time. I'm a fan of the Archers, you see, that's from my sins.
Has anything happened on that soap yet?
No, don't be stupid. No. But I've been listening for 25 years. But
right.
Can I give you some context? I'm sure you're desperate to know.
Yes, please.
Yes. On this evening's episode, Nick, Helen Archer took her father, Tony, are you keeping up, to the Bull, to celebrate having an offer on a house accepted. But Tony suspected what she really wanted to talk about was the future of his beloved herd of Angus cattle, which she wants to sell off because they're unprofitable, which prompted our Tony Archer to retort, well, I feel a bit like Tony Soprano, that this is a mafia hit job, to which Helen replied, and I'm the assassin? And Do you know what my first response to that was? God, Nick would be delighted.
Yeah.
He knew this was on this evening.
Not really. It didn't make any sense. Tony Soprano thought it was a mafia hit. He is in the mafia.
No. Tony Archer thought that he felt a bit like Tony Soprano.
Right.
That this was a mafia hit job on him by his daughter Helen.
Oh, I see. Right.
It's all very deep. All very deep. So I thought you want to know that because you're always defending the Sopranos.
Well, it sounds like something that I should know and make a note of, and then forget about almost immediately.
Can I persuade you to listen to the Archers?
Absolutely, Nick? No.
Why not?
There's nothing that you could do to persuade me to do that.
Well, you could listen to the podcast that I co-host, a fan podcast called All About the Archers. Well, I dare you to.
You dare me to? Oh, well, then I'll have to, won't I?
I listen to yours.
Yes, well,
I do. Yours and Carol's.
Yeah,
I'm glad you're back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're back.
Yeah.
No. But thanks for asking. All right. Cheers,
Quentin. I'll go try, man. Cheers.
All right, bye-bye. Everybody's got a blooming podcast. You believe that? I've got six. I actually do have six per week, because there's the Nick Abbott Habit. That's the best of. That's now in extended form and comes out twice a week, doubling your pleasure. The Nick Abbott Habit, twice a week, Mondays and Wednesdays. And then there's the Me and Carol.
Oh, right, yeah.
That comes out on Mondays and Thursdays. And then there's the Friday and Saturday night shows. You're listening to one of them right now. And if you can't bear to stay awake for a single solitary moment longer, then be aware that the Friday and Saturday night shows get stuck up the internet as a podcast. It's exclusive to Global Player and the new LBC app, both of which are free from your app store. And the thing to ask for is Nick Abbott, the whole show podcast from the Friday and Saturday night shows on this station. And the idea is we take the news and most of the ads out, mostly, which means it takes less time to listen to, which will give you more time to watch The Sopranos.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Now, then, Stoke-on-Trent. Hello, Paul.
Nick, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good stuff. Do you reckon the nations are not backing Donald Trump and his war because he's obviously, is it a legal war still, isn't it?
I don't think that the status of the war has changed, no.
No. I reckon that Keir Starmer is not backing the war because obviously it's still illegal, so that's my thinking as well.
Yeah, plus it's got nothing to do with us.
I mean, no, of course,
why should we get dragged into his purple nightmare?
I know, and it started, and obviously the Americans back it, so that's it.
Unfortunately, the fallout is affecting all of us.
Well, that's it, our prices and petrol prices.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we can only hope that we stay as far away from it as possible and it concludes as quickly as possible to the benefit of all.
And if it needs to get to wars, well, let's hope it's peace, put it that way.
He is the president for life of the Board of Peace, and he got Board of Peace.
Another 2 years, that's all, so... We
decided to do war instead. Yeah, exactly. Okay, all right, thanks a lot, Paul. Claire in Spain says, I saw somebody in the North Korea press office saw the Mike Johnson introduction for Trump regarding the new award he's received and said, ooh, that's a bit much. I think that's a joke. I'm not entirely sure, but I think that is. Funny, no?
No.
This text says, hi, Nick. Michael Portillo said, Americans just want you to love them, and they will beat you up until you do. And Suzanne says, good evening, Nick. Well, I thought most of the country had electric cars. Now a stable, so amazing. What? So why do we keep on panicking about petrol? And besides, we do not get motor hour petrol from the Middle East, so unfortunately it is media hype panic, and it doesn't take much for the British paprik to start panicking and queuing all night if necessary. Susan, none of that makes sense. Most of it is spelt wrong, for a start. When it's got a squiggly line underneath, that means you have made an error. Correct it. We don't get motor hour petrol from the Middle East. Much of our, perhaps? Petrol comes from everywhere. It's not sourced from one particular place. It's taken from everywhere and then squirted into this sort of giant financial pool from which it's sold to whoever bids the most. I mean, no. Why do you think the price of price at the pumps has gone up so much if it's got nothing to do with us? I thought most of the country had electric cars, now a stable, so amazing. I don't know what you were going for there. And most of the country does not have electric cars. It's still a minority thing. But in cities, it makes more sense, and you'll find there are more of them in cities. In the countryside, less so. Let's see. Jerry says, what do you think of Tottenham? What, you mean the place or the club? If it's the place, then I don't really have very great knowledge of it. There's no reason for me to ever have gone there. I think the only reason you would ever want to go to Tottenham is if you live there. And I never have done. If you're talking about the team, then I think they need to get their act together. Otherwise, they're going down. I think they just need to believe in themselves more. I think they need to sort out their body language for a start. They look so slumped and depressed and like they've accepted the inevitable. Hey, kids, wake up. It's later than you think. Stratford-upon-Avon. Hello, Jane.
Hi, Nick.
Jane.
You're making me laugh.
Well, you've got to have a laugh, ain't you?
That didn't sound like you saying that or those words.
No, well, that wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Well, you mean that goofy laugh? That wasn't me.
No, the bit where you speak, but it doesn't matter. Oh, good grief. I've had quite a few gin and tonics tonight.
Oh, really?
Ooze?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Usually get the girls to say that. Booze.
Try fighting your way through the haze, Jane.
I'm not fighting, it's true. I'm through the haze. I was hoping to hear the girl from Bath, the vet from Bath. I love listening to her. She always amuses me greatly.
Mm-hmm.
However,
but.
Sopranos versus Breaking Bad. I don't really like violent telly. I don't like watching it. I don't know. But my brother-in-law frequently recommends stuff for me to watch. And it must be about 2 years ago now. He recommended Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely adored it.
Love it.
And the extraordinary thing is, I wanted the baddies to win.
Well, hang on a minute. Which baddie are we talking about?
Oh, Walter.
Oh, right. Well, he's not the baddie.
Well, he kind of is. He's making all the drugs. And then the other guy, the... God, it's such a long time since I've seen it now. You know, the sort of big scar-faced guy that's going around shooting people. Hmm. I even liked him. I did.
Yeah, you're not supposed to like him, Jane.
I know. But you see, this is the trouble with you. As you will, you know, we're a similar age. I'm a wee, wee bit older than you. That's all I will admit to.
Yeah.
Don't do the birthday thing. You talk about music and stuff. I don't really know very much about Deep Purple. My husband likes them, but they're not his most favourite.
You don't like much about Deep Purple?
No, I didn't say I didn't. I just don't know much about them.
But where did Deep Purple come from?
What's the band that you're always talking about? The Dark Side of the War, Moon, and...
Jane, I think that the haze has got a grip of you. You can't fight your way out of it. You're just going to have to succumb. Just lie there in like a fetal position for the next 8 hours and see how you feel then. All right. I'm just trying to help. Am I helping yet?
No.
0345-6060-973, LBC.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
Donald Trump has a plan for Iran. Or rather, he has several plans simultaneously. These are not four stages of a coherent strategy. They are four different instincts from four different conversations from a president who appears to have no sense of what he's doing.
Hear every side of the story.
Does the British government think that obliterating Iranian power stations is a good or bad idea?
That's just speculation.
He's made the threat. I'm just asking whether the British government thinks it's a good or bad idea. Quite a simple question.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Whether your dreams are calling you outdoors to reconnect with nature or towards moments of pampering and relaxation to rejuvenate your soul, you can bank on Lloyds to help make it happen. We've been asking listeners what their aspirations are for the year ahead to help create the ultimate prize packages to inspire that first step. Enter now for your chance to win one of three incredible experiences thanks to Lloyds and the nation's aspirations. Choose the prize for you at lbc.co.uk.
Calling all young creatives. Kickstart your career in media. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12 at Global Academy. GlobalAcademy.com.
Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato.
Whoa!
And spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo!
Try Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces with serious flavor. Dolmio, yeah!
What's the best present you ever got for your birthday? I bet it wasn't as life-changing as £1 million. Every week with the birthday draw, there's £1 million to be won. And you can enter from as little as £1 or via post. Enter by midnight on Sunday and your special day could win you £1 million. Visit thebirthdaydraw.com. Is it your lucky day? From Global and ITV. 18 plus UK only, no purchase necessary.
It's not easy being a clump, stuck on the wheel of the one person on the street who didn't tax their car. Yeah, Graham at number 7, I'm talking about you. Bet the neighbourhood group chat is as well. Wish I had a group chat. Maybe I can chat to myself.
Hi, Clampy. How's it going?
Not great, Clampy. Being clamped to the only untaxed car for miles is so lonely.
Over 98% of drivers tax their vehicle on time. Tax it. Don't risk it. Visit gov.uk/DVLA/taxit.
Leading Britain's conversation, Nick Abbott. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Thank you for holding. Your call is important to us.
Yes, Jeff, your call is important to us.
Hello, Nick.
Jeff.
I've had nothing to drink tonight.
Glad to hear it.
Honest. I'm also a big fan of The Sopranos, as I know you are.
Ah, yes.
In fact, they're my second favourite series.
Second?
Yes. Before I tell you the first, I've got a soprano trivia for you.
Okay, go on.
You know the theme tune when they start off the show where it says, woke up early this morning?
Woke up this morning with a gun in my face, something like that.
That's the one. Well, it's by a band called Alabama 3.
Yeah.
and they're a British band from South London.
Are they?
Yes.
Now, that I did not know.
Ah, well, here's the thing. This is the trivia, you see. There's a connection between that song and the great train robbery of 1963 in England.
Okay, go on.
Now, this group from the Alabama Three from South London, one of the group is a guy called Nick, no relation, Nick Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now his father, Bruce Reynolds, was a member of the Great Train Robbery.
Huh.
He was a great train robber. He's deceased now.
Right.
But, you know, that's the connection, you see, between the Great Train Robbery and the Sopranos.
Why is a band from this country called the Alabama Three? And are there even three of them?
I think there were about four.
Four.
And whether they're still together, or whether they, you know, why they, how they came about recording the track, I don't know. Whether the track came first and someone heard the track and thought it'd be good for the Sopranos, probably that was the case. I don't know.
Excellent music does run through the entire series.
Oh, yes.
All of the series, because they all end on some really great piece of music. And almost never do they repeat it, but one of the ones that's, I think it's called You Gotta Pay, is by Bob Dylan. Absolutely marvellous. And it was like it was written for that show. I don't think it was, but it sounds like it was.
Well, there's another one for you, Nick. When Tony Soprano sits in his old hammock, his old, you know, his house side swinging away, and he plays that record by Dean Martin, My Rifle, My Pony and Me. My hat, my pony, which is great, you know?
Right.
There's a lot of great tracks in that.
Well, there really are. Yeah, I think one of the first pieces of music that we hear is Tony Soprano in a car, and he's listening to Joe Walsh.
Rock and roll!
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. But my number one show, Nick, I must tell you this, my number one show, even better than The Sopranos...
Go on.
...is the Italian Gomorrah.
Oh, right.
Yes.
I think that
all 59 episodes.
59, right. Was that the one that's the very first episode, some old guy was in a square and he got beaten up by two kids and he said, and then he shot one of them. He said, ran with the Gomorrah.
And then they all ran away.
Yeah.
And I've got all 59 episodes and a couple of specials as well. But I can recommend it, the whole lot, you know, fantastic.
No.
It's subtitles, but if you live for the subtitles, you've got it.
Yeah, but that would involve reading.
Boring!
There is that, I'm afraid, yeah. Sorry.
I watch television to avoid reading.
Oh, dear, yeah.
All right, but I'll keep it in mind.
Cheers, Nick.
Excellent work. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Philip says, Nick, this is all you need in your life for a perfect two-egg omelette. I was dubious at first, and you should be aware that he spelt first with a U. I was dubious at first, but the darn gone thing works, says Philip. Mix your usual omelette mix in whatever you mix them in, and then the secret is to pop a tiny bit of milk in first to the red device. What red device? 50 seconds on full blast in the microwave.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. No, I do not do nuclear food. Not now, not ever, never. I won't have one in my house. Full blast in the microwave, mixed with a fork, blast for another 50 seconds, and hey, presto, an absolutely perfect omelette. Thank you, says Phil in Solihull. He says, I may call, I'm thinking about it, which sounds like a threat. Don't call about that, Phil, because you got that wrong. And Chris says, just wondering, if Lego made a peace prize out of Lego, would Trump accept that? They gave him another prize. It really is like the human race has been run by a baby. Here's another rattle. It's kind of alarming. I could be alarmed. For a while there, I decided to be amused, but now I'm alarmed again. Bodmin. Hello, Malcolm.
Good evening, Nick.
Malcolm.
Another great science-based show.
That's right. You were only interested in calls about science on this programme.
Yeah, because it's fantastic, as they say.
Right.
Hey, look, it's been a strange day. Starmer is doing remarkably well again.
Yes.
Donald Trump is sadly doing remarkably badly.
Flailing around.
Yeah, Tiger Woods
is in police custody again because of substance is, I think.
Driving poorly, yes.
Yeah. Crashing cars all the while. But he is a golfing genius, and it's a sad end to a glorious, glorious career, I think. I think this will be it now. But, Nick, you've had some stupendous guests on this evening. when I say guests, I mean callers.
Yeah, and define stupendous.
Well, where do I begin?
Mm-hmm.
Iago in Bristol, I thought was very, very, very good.
Yeah, if you're going to start naming names to me, then you have to understand that I'll have no idea what you're talking about.
No, and I agree with you because you do go beyond the stage where everything just melts away.
Yeah.
But what I got to say, Nick, is Starmer's week, I think, has been absolutely amazing in that. He simply gets better and better and better, even though his flaws are showing up to be there. But the alternatives, Nick, are beyond.
Yes. He is exactly the kind of person that we need right now. Not somebody who's going to start a shouting match. Not someone who's going to just capitulate and roll over. Not someone who's going to appear as though they haven't thought about it and they're just going to jump to, whatever tune the Americans start playing. No, it looks like he's actually thought about it, thought quite hard. He's making, here comes that horrible phrase that they use all the time, difficult decisions. Well, and so far, yeah, pretty good.
Well, look, I saw a headline, I think it was last night, I've been through the mill a little bit here in that I had people in yesterday sorting out my floor in my kitchen because it was a bit bumpy. And
your floor was bumpy?
We had issues with a bumpy floor, but it's sorted now and it's amazing, right? But
what have you got on your floor?
Well, don't extend my trauma, right? Don't ask me questions.
Well, what
about it,
kind
right?
of a floor gets bumpy?
Take my word that it was a bumpy floor.
Well, I don't take your word for it.
Gorgeous.
I think that you're making that whole bumpy floor story up.
Look, let's leave it a week, and in a week we speak about it then, right? But at the minute, it's a bit raw, okay?
Okay,
now,
then.
Look, Nick, Stammered, I just saw a headline last night, and you'll be able to verify this. The headline from Starmer, or the newspaper headline, which quoted Starmer, went something like this. Donald Trump is trying to provoke me.
Yeah.
But I won't be provoked. Because I'm calm, I'm in control, we're not going to war.
Yes.
Our ships are good.
Mm.
And we are okay. But Nick Ferrari yesterday... Or the day before, Nick, he almost had kittens in that he had John Healey, the defense secretary, on.
Oh,
I think John Healey had, he did have a bit of a Diane Abbott moment, but I don't think it was as bad as the Abbott moment in that I think Healey was simply stopping talking and thinking, I don't want to say where our ships are. I don't want to say how many ships we've got because I don't want our enemies to know how weak we are after the last 16 years of Tory government.
Government, exactly right.
Yeah. But Nick, John Healey sounded awful. But John Healey had no... He couldn't have sounded any different because Nick Ferrari asked him, how many ships have we got?
Yes.
Where are those ships?
Right.
And John Healey couldn't say because they literally are probably all over the world in hot spots.
Well,
and
I think they're... I think most of them are here in dock being fixed.
No.
Or they're trying to dredge them up from the bottom of the sea.
No, Nick, no. We've got 14, 15, 16... battleships, right? Class or whatever they are.
Do we?
Yes, we have. We have 14 or 15, right?
Well, that sounds great.
But Nick, they're not all in ports. I know that. I know Plymouth, where some of them hideout.
I didn't realise that we kept boats secret. I knew that we kept submarines secret, because that's the whole point of a nuclear submarine, but not boats. You're supposed to be able to see them. That's the point of having a threat, that people can see that, you know, the big gun that you've got.
Right, so you think then that... See, I think we have 8, 9, 10 ships, maybe, out at sea, and we might have 3 or 4... In docks being
That sounds a lot to me. I didn't think we had anything like that. I thought we had a bristling new aircraft carrier, but we didn't have any aircraft to put on it.
No, we've got 2 aircraft carriers, Nick.
Right.
And we've got about 14 or 15 class, whatever it is, 25, 45 ships.
Uh-huh.
And they're fighting ships. But, Nick, the first last week over the one... The Dragon, which is a Welsh link, I think.
Yeah.
We couldn't send it to sea because... We couldn't send it to sea, Nick, because it takes 7 or 14 days to put the food on, put the bombs in.
Yeah. All of that stuff. You can't just snap your fingers and it's ready to go. That's right. Yes. Okay, well, if anything develops, Malcolm, then I want you to let me know straight away. And I am very keen to hear about your bumpy floor. I'm not going to let you get away with that. You can't set us up with something as exciting as a bumpy floor and then not tell us, fill in the details. I am outraged at the very idea. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midnight. Russia says its foreign minister has been discussing the possibility of a diplomatic settlement to the war in Iran with his counterpart in Tehran. Sergei Lavrov's department has announced there was an exchange of views with Abbas Araghchi. It's also describing the war involving the US and Israel as unprovoked aggression. The US Secretary of State has said he expects the conflict with Iran to end within weeks rather than months. Marco Rubio was talking at a meeting of G7 foreign ministers near Paris.
Look what they're willing to do with the weapons they have now. They hit embassies, they target hotels, they try to kill civilians, they splash out at all their neighbors. Imagine if these radical lunatics had a nuclear weapon to threaten the world with.
An Iranian missile attack has wounded at least 10 U.S. service members. 2 American officials are also saying several planes were damaged at a military base in Saudi Arabia. The policing watchdog says Merseyside police is being investigated after a man spent 38 years in prison for a murder he did not commit. A complaint's been made by Peter Sullivan, who was jailed after 21-year-old Diane Sindel was killed. She was attacked while walking through Birkenhead on the Wirral in 1986. Parents are being advised to limit screen time for children who are under 5 years old to just 1 hour a day. The government's released its first ever guidance, which also says that bedtimes and mealtimes should be device-free. Arabella Skinner is the Director of Policy at Health Professionals for Safer Screens. She's been telling LBC a lack of guidance hasn't been helping.
It was incredibly confusing for parents because you got told a lot, my child needs to use a screen because the world is all digital, or my child needs to be, you know, using apps because all the apps tell you that they're educational. Actually, what we were seeing in clinics was children who couldn't speak, children with language problems, children with attention problems.
A stranded whale has swum free from a sandbank after getting trapped in the Baltic Sea. Rescuers had been working to dig a trench to allow the mammal to swim away after it was spotted near a German seaside resort. And in sport and in football, England have drawn 1-1 with Uruguay at Wembley. James Garner and the goalkeeper James Trafford both made their England debuts in the friendly. LBC weather, scattered showers across England and Wales overnight with rain and hill snow predicted for Scotland and Northern Ireland. We'll see a low of around 2 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
My dog's been taken.
You know, some whack job can say this stuff and get away with it?
Did Marco Rubio actually say, look at what the Iranians have done. They bombed embassies and hospitals and schools. They're radical lunatics. Yeah, well, right back at you. He says the Iranians, the idea that they might have a nuclear weapon is just beyond terrifying. They're worse to that effect. Yeah, well, idiot Armin has got his weirdly small hands on the nuclear button as well.
Don't talk to me that way. Don't talk to... I'm the president of the United States. Don't ever talk to the president that way.
Ever talk to the president that way. Shirley says, Nick, you see what happens when you and Carol take a break? Trump starts a war.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry about that, everybody. I didn't realise we were keeping the world together. I mean, if the world does want a problem solved, then all they have to do is just email nickandcarol@global.com and we'll sort it out for you. You don't actually have to go to war. Just ask us. We'll sort it out for you. No problem. Darylin Hope says, in the forthcoming World Cup, who do you think will win the Nobel Foundation's Golden Boot? I bet it's Donnie, and I bet he can guess his own shoe size, almost to the millimetre. Tavistock, hello, Rose.
Oh, hello, Nick.
Rose.
Hi. Trump.
Yeah.
I've come across something. But he's a walking oxymoron, you know, isn't he? Just to use a big word.
He is a walking moron, yeah.
Well, President Trump, it's an oxymoron. It's a contradiction. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't think that's quite the right use of the word oxymoron.
Oh, really? Don't you?
Well, he's President Trump.
Well, the fact is, yes, you're quite right. He actually is President Trump, yeah. Yes. Hmm.
But president doesn't imply any sort of qualities as far as character is concerned. I mean, presidential does.
I can be more presidential than anyone.
Ah, yes, that would be, wouldn't it?
That's it, yeah.
Well, I found something. I've been delving through papers and stuff.
Delving. Well, what an excellent word that is, delving. When do we ever use the word delve? Almost never.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, well, I rather like it.
Delve. Well, I'm going to write that down and look at it for a moment. One moment, please. Delve. Oh, God, that is a very satisfying word.
Are you teasing me?
No, I am not. Delve. It's good to say and
well,
to
like
write
it,
down
yes.
and look at it. Yes.
Yes.
Who doesn't enjoy a quick delve?
I know. Well, I've delved for weeks, right, frankly, since
wow,
a naughty caller.
Way too much information, Rose.
Somewhat ignorantly patronised me on the programme, and I thought, who needs it? I will busy myself clearing out.
Yes.
Instead, and I found, well, lots of things, but this note that I'd made, I mean, apparently Fred Trump told his son, future caretaker of the free world, my words, be a killer and you're a king. And
wow.
Just think, the killer king.
Be
How
a
do you
killer.
Feel about that?
He was a landlord, wasn't he? Be a killer. Is that what you want as the attitude of your landlord?
Well, exactly. And I didn't know he was a landlord. But I mean, even if it's a business thing, you do feel it's not necessarily the type of king we want in any area.
Any area.
And then I've just heard two other things. One. Fred, I just this minute heard these. I found this note, I think, yesterday. Fred's middle name was Christ. I got this a furious email, you see, saying this.
No. I'm going to have to look that up.
You'll have to look it up. Yeah. Shall I speak meanwhile?
Yes, please.
Yes, what's the other thing? Oh, yeah. And I just heard today that... Well, I have just heard today that there are these No Kings rallies tomorrow all over America, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a bit of a coincidence, really.
Oh, my God, you're right. Frederick Christ Trump. That's not just what people used to say when he entered a room. Oh, Christ Trump.
It might have been. My God. But... Killer kings, you see, what I'm thinking, Nick, is it's so childish.
Yes.
You know, and you leave these principles behind, I'm the king of the castle, when you grow up.
Yeah, supposed to.
So what we've got is undeveloped men in power, well, particularly him, with this constant need to feed his ego by basically dominating and killing. And he does seem to be taking Fred's advice rather literally.
Yeah, he does.
You know, doesn't he? That delight in sinking that ship. And he... There was another thing when he was talking, and he kept saying, we've killed them, and we've killed them.
Yeah.
And
he surrounds himself with people like this. I mean, USAID, as they insist on calling it, looks like USAID to me, but they gutted it. Elon Musk jumped the bat and wanted congratulations and whoops and cheers because he fed it through the wood chipper, the aid organization the States. And because of the defunding, the people on the ground say that it's going to be approximately near or thereabouts. 3 million people die a year just because of the lack of the medicine and the food that they were going to get, which Trump... Yes. And if it was in a warehouse over there ready to be distributed, instead of doing that, they burned it, you know, just to rub their faces in it.
Well, you see, it's obscenity after obscenity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like when they harness their violence to the Christian message, thus defiling same.
Right, exactly. They're phonies. All of these people who say things like...
You know, nobody has done more for Christianity. Nobody has done more for religion of all type than me.
Than him.
It's disgusting.
It's amazing that people have the nerve to have like a prayer breakfast for Donald Trump, and they lay their hands on him.
I saw a picture.
Unbelievable. And he's sitting there and I can only assume that he's thinking, these gullible mugs are really doing this? I mean, he can't possibly any of that. He doesn't believe any of that, surely.
No. I was going to say, actually, it's like ancient Rome. And just when you said that, and the image of him sat there thinking, oh, stupid fools, and they're all doing it, because they have to. What I remember of learning about, you know, when it was really awful, those emperors, Caligula and so on. But you see, it's so childish, this dominating killing business.
It's got to work against him, because he's surrounding himself with people who are terrified to tell him the truth. And so if you live in a world of make-believe, if you construct this sort of fantasy around yourself, and everybody keeps telling you that, yes, that is what exists, you are the world's most fabulous person, you are the most handsomest all, then that's not going to do you any good in the long run, but, you know, in the long run, everybody dies.
Well, yes, and I was going to tell you that going back to it all being, you know, childish but horrific. Well, this wasn't horrific, I suppose, but when I first started Latin at school, when I got home, I made some game with my little sister. Believe it or not, I was the glorious emperor. She was servus miser, which was, because, you know, when you start learning a language, it always is exciting. Servus miser, I said, you'll be servus miser, miserable slave. Awful. But
wow.
You see, you leave it behind. But, Nick, there's a pervasive reverence going round for violence and dominance, I feel, don't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
like the human race is going through a phase.
Well, let's hope it's a passing phase.
Well, it will pass eventually. The question is how long it will take.
Yes, I'll be dead by then.
Well, you just don't know, Rose. It could be tomorrow.
Well, I don't... why not? Let's pray for miracles.
There you go. Fingers crossed. All right, thanks a lot, Rose. Chin up. It might never happen. Oh, no, that's right. It already has. Shirley says... I read that. Mike says, how as a society have we got to the point where we're putting food waste in boxes outside our houses? Who thought of this moronic idea? The problems are obvious. Do these people live in the real world? Food waste would be okay if they took it away on a regular basis, but they don't. They leave it too long, and it just stinks the place out. Not so bad in the winter, but in the summertime, it just honks. If they want us to do our best and, you know, sort our stuff into separate receptacles, then they have to at least meet us halfway and collect the stuff that honks. Because it brings foxes and rats and, you know, all that stuff that you have to then pay some bloke with a small dog to come around and relieve you of. Not the foxes, the rats. Simon in Canterbury says, Nick, I, Claudius, has to be up there as one of the very best ever. Far better than the Sopranos, says Simon. We got that wrong. Newcastle, hello, Chandra.
Good morning, Nick. I was about to fall asleep, but...
Oh, no. Wake up! You've been waiting online a very long time, and I apologise.
No, thank you. I'm desperately waiting to speak with you.
Yes.
You are...
my most favourite radio presenter every Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Appreciate that, Chandra.
Yeah. There were three things I was hoping to speak with you about. Mm-hmm. One, hacking. Number two, Zeus. The third thing, I forgot. No, I remember. Sopranos.
Right. Go ahead.
Hacking. Have you heard that Iran-backed group has gone after or hacked into Kash Patel's private email system?
Was it when he was looking the other way?
I wonder what they found, but I think I have a theory here that they initially wanted to hack into Donald Trump's personal email address, but then realized that how can you shame him? He's beyond shame.
Exactly right. Yeah.
So they thought it was not going to be very entertaining.
No.
Because
we've heard it all already. He doesn't have any filter. It crosses his brain. It just pops out of his mouth.
Absolutely. So they thought the best thing is to attack his allies and then hopefully that's an interesting strategy, I thought. Mm-hmm. I'm pleased you agree with me. That means a great deal to me.
Second thing,
Zeus, you were mentioning a few minutes ago that we should close, or you were wondering if
I just am curious as to why it's still a thing. I'm not saying that they should be closed. I just I don't really want to go to a zoo. I don't really like the idea of a zoo, and I'm just kind of surprised that these days it's still a thing.
But imagine we were to close all the zoos in the country or all over the world.
Yeah.
Where will we put his royal orangeness when we capture him? So he belongs in a zoo. Mm-hmm. So I think we at least need to keep one zoo open where we can put him. I think he doesn't belong in the White House. He's his royal orangeness.
No, exactly right. He belongs swinging on in a car tire, hanging from a branch by a rope.
He'll break the branch the very moment he sits on it.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. I want to be like you. Hoo, hoo.
Yeah. The third thing, Sopranos. I've been thinking, why is it that you are so deeply affected by Sopranos? Mm. I mean, you seem to think there is nothing on this planet more valuable, probably more valuable than your good lady, than Sopranos.
That's way too much. I just think it's the best TV program that's ever been made, that's all. I can't think of a better one.
Okay, I think I have a reason for it.
Go on.
The lead character, Tony Soprano, he's a gentle giant. He's ruthless. He's a mafia man. But the extremities in his personality, there's almost childlike innocence and frankness and fairness about him.
Mm-hmm.
And at the other end of the spectrum, he could
pull your head off
and not feel anything about it.
No.
So I think the more anybody that has got extremities within themselves draw everyone's attention.
Now, are you saying that I'm like Tony Soprano, or Donald Trump is like Tony Soprano?
No. Donald Trump comes nowhere near. There are no extremities. He's just at one extreme.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's no two sides to him, just the one side.
Absolutely. Yeah. Whereas you, the fact that you can do Friday and Saturday shows, and then become completely somebody else and do a Sunday show. I think you are exactly like Tony Soprano.
Chandra, I'm thinking of ripping your head off as we speak. It wouldn't mean anything to me.
In which case, I'll disappear.
Okay. All right. Good talking to you. Thanks a lot, Chandra. Patrick says Breaking Bad was the best. No, it's the second best. Sylvia says Downton Abbey was the best ever. Yeah. No. And Paul says Dad's Army was the best TV show of all time. Well, it wasn't, but it's very, very comforting spending time with those old friends. I think that's the nature of the appeal of Dad's Army. It's that, like, they're old friends, by which I don't mean they're aged. I mean they have been friends of ours for a long time, and it is very comforting spending time in their company. I've watched loads of Dad's Armies, and I don't remember laughing that much. It was quietly amusing, but not laugh-out-loud hysterically funny. There's precious little that ever has been. I'd say, for me, Third Rock from the Sun, just because of the the writing and the performances. Best performance in any sitcom ever, John Lithgow. I'd say even better than Phil Silvers. I mean, just perfect. And Larry Sanders, that made me laugh out loud. The thing that I'm going through at the moment, I've almost got to the end of Curb Your Enthusiasm. That's laugh out loud funny. I mean, some of it's a bit shrieky and hysterical, but, you know. I'm hesitating to say Friends because it's a bit twee. I think it's one of those things that was funny when it first came out. But, you know, I mean, those are gags, and there's a gag on each page of the script. Barely 30 seconds goes by where somebody doesn't say something that's funny. But Dad's Army was never really laugh-out-loud funny, was it, really? It was just pleasant to be in their company. And Simon in Canterbury says, I, Claudius, has to be up there with one of the best ever, far better than The Sopranos. I do believe that Simon is trolling me. Back under your bridge, troll.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
This is a shameful, this is a shambles.
Straight to the point.
How was that allowed to happen?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Show some evidence, Minister.
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store. LBC.
This is 40-year-old Kathy, mother of two and self-confessed telly addict.
Ready? Oh, look at you. That's brilliant. Well done.
This is also Kathy, working as part of a team to keep things calm at her local prison.
Listen, speak to me.
And helping someone's son write his first letter home in 8 months.
Well done. You should be really proud.
Thank you, miss.
An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
At AJ Bell, we believe investing is for everyone. And when we say everyone, we mean your dad, Dan, Danielle, Dean, Dave, Del, Del's delivery driver Denise, Denise's dentist Dinesh, and Devon's strongest man, Donathan. Donathan? Donathan, that can't be right. Donathan? Well, whatever your name is, if you're a real person, investing is for you too. AJ Bell, feel good investing. The value of your investments can go up or down.
Wide.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
What are you talking about?
This and that. Mostly that. Zach says, Nick, The Sopranos and Breaking Bad is the best ever, and don't forget Prison Break. Yeah, Prison Break was good, but it wasn't great. Liz says, Nick, call the midwife, but then I'm a woman. That's the most sexist thing I've ever heard, Liz. But I haven't seen it because, you know, I'm not a woman. Al says, I'd love to see the look on Trump's face if somebody gives him a silver trophy rather than a gold one. P.S. Can you please invite Jennifer Welch as a guest? She was recently on Malcolm Nance's show and is perceptive and refreshingly blunt. Yeah. Well, let me ponder that for a while.
No, 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 no.
Absolutely. Edinburgh. Hello, Alex. Alex?
Hello.
There you are.
Prestwick, not Edinburgh.
Oh,
anyway,
can you call me when you get to Edinburgh?
I will. I was there 2 days ago. Lovely to hear Rose this evening. So, 2 hours behind here, but on Sopranos, I've always been amazed that nobody has talked about the Pine Barrens episode. Do you remember that, Nick?
The Pine Barrens is possibly the best hour of television ever made.
Oh, and nobody has ever sort of connected that, I think, to the Home Alone episode. What, Home Alone 2, 1, I don't know.
Home Alone?
Also, her, and yeah, remember when everything gets dropped on them? And but the Pine Barrens seem to me to be exactly that sort of comedy.
Oh, you mean the cartoon way in which the kid in Home Alone tries to eliminate the criminals, right?
Correct. But just the best. So Darren talking about the fact that he hasn't got, well, he spent a lot of money getting The Sopranos.
Yeah.
And I hadn't watched Sopranos until you talked about it about a year ago to me.
Right.
And I was going, well, not to me, obviously, but I when I first, you know,
yeah,
I said,
yeah.
Oh my God, absolutely incredible.
It is.
Watched it. I've now watched it five times, the whole series, the whole six series, five times in a row, and just go, oh my goodness, but the Pine Barrens is just Home Alone.
It was, no.
No.
No, it really is not.
No.
No. It's, it was directed by Steve Buscemi. You know who he is?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think it was his first effort at directing one of the episodes of The Sopranos, and he just got it by, I think, relatively by accident. They just had him around, and they thought, well, we'll give this one to you, and, you know, see what happens. And then it was the greatest hour of TV ever.
It's the most extraordinary Sopranos. I've all the times I listen to you all talking about Sopranos, and going, nobody talks about Pine Barrens. I know you've mentioned it, but
I think it's everyone's favourite episode. I'm reading the book, which was written by Michael Imperioli and Steve, I can't remember the guy's name. He played Uncle Junior's assistant. Anyway, and they were talking about the Pine Barrens and how it's everyone's favourite episode. I think that everyone's in agreement with you, Alex, and me.
Absolutely astonishing. Yeah. Anyway, if anybody needs to love his heroes back, and I'm in Prestwick, not Edinburgh.
Prestwick. So, okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
I've got the Trump planes landing here for Turnberry, Turnberry.
Oh, really?
If anybody needs anybody to, you know, go and, you know, I don't know.
Give him a wave. Yeah.
Yeah, give him a wave.
That is all that you are legally allowed to do, Alex. I would stick to that. Just give him a cheery wave. Well, you don't have to be cheery about it, but just give him a wave. Thanks a lot, Alex. Jonathan says, I bought, on your recommendation, The Dark Side of the Moon.
Rock and roll!
The deluxe CD, and it was not the best. Are you telling me that you listened to Dark Side of the Moon and you didn't like it? Impossible. This text says, doesn't insolvent mean that you've run out of glue? Yes, it does. That is exactly what that means. And if you run out of glue, then you could always use magnets. Where is it? I've got so many here, I don't know where they are anymore. Magnets, magnets. Nobody knows anything about magnets.
Nobody knows who the hell he is.
Yeah, no, not that one. Magnets.
I know more about grass than any human being, I think, anywhere in the world.
No, not that one. Magnets.
I'm doing great with black men.
Your husband is doing great with black men, Melania.
I don't care.
She's actually not that bothered. I can't find the magnets. It's in here somewhere. Trust me. Paul in New Jersey says, breaking news, a Just Stop Oil protester painted his face orange and then disrupted the flow of 20% of the world's oil and a significant fraction of the world's LNG shipments too. Yes. Yeah. That's right. And that would put you in jail if you just stopped a car. But you disrupt the flow of 20% of the world's oil and you get a blooming medal for it. You believe that? Let's see now. Tooting. Hello, Jan.
Hi, Nick. Hi.
Jan.
I better be quick. So I've been inspired to offer you something for your new bingo card.
Oh yeah.
And I've discovered that I haven't listened to it yet, but apparently. I'll give a bit of background information quickly before I give you the offer, because it'd make more sense to everyone who's listening as well.
Mm-hmm.
But so back in 2016, Trump used the Queen, you know, the group of Bohemian.
Oh, not Her Majesty.
No, Queen,
The Queen, the band Queen. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Trump used the "We Are the Champions" thing. Right. And so there's a lot of groups that don't like him using their music. But the drummer of the group, his name is Taylor.
Yeah. Roger Taylor.
Roger Taylor has released on the... I haven't seen it or heard it yet, but it's called Chumps, and he's released a single on the YouTube thing with no images. It's just him with his... They're saying it's no holds barred lyrics, like referring to him as a force-fed orange maniac and a maniacal monster and everything, an awful person.
Wow.
And none of the rest of the group still alive are doing that. But what it is that it's called Chumps, and I'm chumped to say someone's off their chump.
Yeah.
Is to say they're mad. So I'm offering you to be off one's chump as a phrase for your...
Right.
Yeah, to be off one's chump, because it's quite interesting the origin of the word, you know, that phrase, to be off one's chump. It's a chump is a mad person.
Yes, I know that. Here's that story. Queen drummer Roger Taylor released a surprise solo protest song, Chumps. On the 2nd of February this year, marking his first solo material in 5 years, the track is a direct, moody, synth-driven critique of modern political leadership, described as a one-man calamity. It continues his history of politically charged songwriting. I didn't know he had a history of politically charged songwriting. I didn't know he wrote songs.
I don't know. I mean, the fans of it says that the fans of the group Queen were thrilled to discover on their official YouTube channel this single. It's original single that
would normally say it. Fans go wild as drummer releases song.
Oh, they've gone wild. Yeah, I haven't heard it yet. I'm looking forward to listening to it. You know,
okay, well, don't look forward to listening to it, Jan. Just skip the middle part and listen to it better. And unfortunately, that's it. Our time is up for this moment. But I appreciate the call. Just past 12:30 on LBC, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
President Trump has said the United States does not have to be there for NATO during a speech mostly covering the war in Iran. He told an investment forum in Miami he was upset with European member states who declined to provide material support to Washington for the attacks against the Islamic Republic. An Iranian missile attack has wounded at least 10 U.S. service members. Two American officials also say several planes were damaged at a military base in Saudi Arabia. And the policing watchdog says Merseyside police is being investigated after a man spent 38 years in prison for a murder he didn't commit. A complaint's been made by Peter Sullivan, who was jailed after 21-year-old Diane Sindel was killed in 1986. LBC weather, scattered showers across England and Wales overnight with rain and hill snow for Northern Ireland and Scotland. We'll see a low of around 2 degrees.
This is LBC.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 99 1234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensified Pasta Sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper, to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato,
whoa,
and spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo-hoo!
Try Dolmio Intensified Pasta Sauces with serious flavor. Dolmio, yeah!
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics, with over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Now, wait a minute. I don't like that kind of talk. Now, just stop it. It upsets me.
Sarah says, my first album was Dark Side, Best Order 2, The Best Of, and Do-Overs Aren't a Patch on the whole setting, and the speaker settings, especially back then, when you could hear the back and forth of the running in the airport, you know.
Right, so what are we doing?
I've got no idea, Carol. Absolutely no idea whatsoever. It's just a random collection of words that don't mean anything. No punctuation of any kind. Rob says, I'm looking forward to the day that Trump becomes self-aware and realises he is not actually the son of God, but just a very naughty boy.
Affirmative.
Let's have Bath. Hello, Laura.
Good morning, Nick.
Yes, Laura.
Some of these texts you're in now, it's like you're just speaking words now, Nick.
I know.
Don't mean much.
They don't mean anything at all.
Oh, goodness, what was I going to talk about? Oh, yeah, Zoo. So one of your loveliest callers, Tiago, called in earlier, and he asked why... No, you asked why Zoo's still a thing, right?
Yeah, defend Zoos to me. I double dare you.
I can't defend them. I'm on reptiles this week, Nick, and so I've learned a lot about zoos.
Reptiles?
Yeah.
What kind of reptiles?
Tortoises, snakes, geckos.
Yeah, I don't think a tortoise is
lizards.
A reptile.
You're just going to try and wind me up now, aren't you? On a Saturday morning.
Yeah, I think you got that wrong. You want to think that out again, Laura?
Okay, anyway...
It's actually a dog with a shell on its back, a tortoise. Any fool know that.
Yeah, okay. So zoos. I was asking, is it ethical to have a zoo?
Hmm.
You know, like, what's the point of them? Like your question.
Our amusement is the point of them.
Well, the issue is the animals get here... And a lot of the time, it's stuff like geckos. They come as, like, stowaways on these big cargo ships.
No.
And
that's not how they fill zoos, with stowaways.
No, I'm not saying that's how they fill all the animals, but this is one of the reasons why we have exotic animals here. It's when they're like, okay, well, they call, like, Argentina or whatever, and they say, listen, mate, I've got all your geckos. How do you want them sent to you, you know, DPD or FedEx?
Right,
and they say, what? No, you can't send them back here because they might have disease, like British
diseases. That's right, British diseases, yeah. Get Argentina on the phone right now, I mean it. I've got a shopping list, want them to fill out.
But this is the thing, so that's one of the reasons why they can't go back, because I had a little bit of a think...
we can go back, we could just let them die away, or we could encourage their death. Did you hear that they shot, or maybe they didn't shoot, but they loved to death an entire wolf pack in some zoo-like park in this country. Did you hear about that?
I did hear about that, yeah. Did you hear about that ship that was, like, on its way to Iran or something, that people weren't meant to know its location, and then one of the sailors logged his run on Strava, this, like... running recording app.
Oh, yeah.
And so people found out. but you know, it's not a run unless you log it on Strava.
Right,
what's the point of running if you're not going to put it on Strava?
Right, for likes, presumably. I don't know what Strava is, but presumably he'd put it up for like. Oh, well done, mate. You know, like.
Strava.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, yeah, so that was one of the reasons why we have exotic pets here. And there's some big deal with the gorillas, because I was ill this week. And I went in and I said, oh, you know, I'm not ill anymore. And they were like, well, hold on a sec. We work with gorillas. And, you know, so how sick are you? And I said, you're going to have to explain this to me, because you just said, in my mind, two completely irrelevant things.
Yes, but I mean, you were working with tortoises. Aren't tortoises people too?
Well, they're certainly not reptiles. I've just heard from somebody, but they're not. But, apparently gorillas are, like, really closely related. I know, actually, I did know they were closely related to us. But they can get our diseases in that, like, more so than any other animal.
Well, we can get their diseases. I mean, you know, that whole mad bat disease that we went through a couple of years ago.
But I'm sure it came from hugging gorillas. So, anyway, I'm not allowed to hug with gorillas while I'm there, but... I met a really, really disgusting tortoise this week, actually. Like, really disgusting.
But it must have been disgusting in a very slow way, though.
No, this one, we've had this discussion before, Nick. They go faster than you think they do.
I don't think so.
They do.
I mean, they go as fast as any fish on land can go.
I feel like a fish can thrash about quite wildly on land, don't they? Also,
for a limited period only. Yes.
Can I make a complaint? Your lovely glamorous assistant just assumed that I wanted to talk about capybaras, even though I didn't mention it.
Right.
And she just popped it on your computer screen, presumably.
I'm right about the capybara. Somebody should look into that whole nose thing, because its nose is too big.
They like, in Japan, you can go see them, you can go have a bath with them in Japan somewhere. And they put, orange...
Another excellent reason not to go to Japan.
The other thing I wanted to say, while you're in the middle of winding me up, is... Oh, it's escaping me at the moment. Well, I'll tell you about the disgusting tortoise first, anyway.
I'm not sure I want to hear the details of something that you've described as disgusting.
Okay, well, never mind, I just remembered. There's one thing you used to do that you don't do anymore.
What?
But it really entertains me, so I was going to ask if you would do it. It's, you know when the jingle's coming on before the hour?
Yeah.
In the olden days, you used to say LBC in time with the da-da-da, and it's,
satisfying. Like a DJ. Hey! Talking up to the vocals.
But do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
Well, so... Would you consider doing that again? It was really pleasing to hear.
Well, let me think about that for a moment.
No.
It's not a request show, Laura. If you want a request played, then Anne-Marie Minhall is at your service.
Have a nice weekend, Nick.
Don't threaten me. 0345-6060-973. Jeremy says, there's a couple of recommended methods to deal with those afflicted with narcissistic personality disorder. No contact and the grey rock method. As the first option obviously isn't an option for Skier, then that only leaves option two, which he is fantastically suited to do. Yeah, the man is a living grey rock. And we appreciate it. Dino in Sheffield says, Donald Trump will hold off on bombing Iran's energy infrastructure deal for 10 days. If Iran doesn't comply, Trump will get really angry and will hold off for another 10 days. That appears to be what's happening, yeah. Boasting that they're crawling across the carpet and begging him for some sort of deal, and the Iranians are saying, Carpet? What carpet? Deal? We're not interested in a deal. I mean, it comes to something when you're not entirely sure who to back. Simon in Hampshire says, is it true that the reform candidate withdrew because he was kicked in the head by a horse? No, and I'm not going to play that either. Newcastle. Hello, Neil.
Hi.
Neil.
You on about comedies before, Nick?
Oh, yeah.
Stick porridge in there as well, and Open All Hours.
Yeah, that's Ronnie Barker. Both of those, isn't it? Or is Open All Hours Ronnie Corbett?
No, both are Ronnie Barker.
Ronnie Barker, right. Well, I think that the two Ronnies is a show from the 1970s that is going to outlast Morecambe and Wise, because Morecambe and Wise, I don't know, if you see clips of old Morecambe and Wise shows, that I think they're very much off their time, and they're not really particularly, they don't make me laugh now, but the two Ronnies do, because they were wordsmiths, and they were just very clever and felicitous with the language.
That's me. Did you not like them to comedy series, though, that I was on about?
Yeah, I watched Porridge, I didn't ever see the other one, Up All Night.
Open All Hours.
Right.
You've got to watch that, mate.
Right.
If you're on about friends having, a gag every, I don't know, minute.
Yeah.
There's probably more in Open All Hours, and it's, it's timeless.
But do they make you laugh, or do they make you just think, that's amusing?
No, to make you laugh. Right. Well, I think you should give it a watch.
Well, I'll stick it on my list.
definitely.
I'll make a window in my busy schedule. Thanks a lot, Neil. Dave says, I wonder how long it will take for a Republican Party to realise that the whole world is looking at them the same way a Parisian waiter looks at a diner who asks for ketchup. Alex says, Orange Mango Man had a hole-in-one on every hole of his own golf course the first day it opened. A perfect... Okay, well, the rest of that only makes sense if it's written down, and I'm not saying it. Matt says, Uruguay's most famous footballer was known mostly for biting people. And Alex in Barnsley says, how long will it be until Farage's fans start rejecting him for being too woke and start supporting a proper patriot like Rupert Lowe? I'm just asking questions, says Alex. Well, Rupert Lowe has got the world's richest man on his side. And, you know, if one thing is going to propel you forwards in the politics game, it's money, honey. And he's got a lot of it. It's actually, well, exciting is not the right word. It's interesting now that it's not just a two-party state, isn't it? Like, the game is now thrown wide open. And nobody appears to have the support to run the country single-handed. So it's going to have to be some sort of coalition or some kind of nod and a wink agreement. And as the... A vast majority of the support of the parties is to the centre-left, not the centre-right, then, things might not work out so bad. It's just you think that the centre the right wing have more support than they actually do, because what they do have is almost the entirety of the British news media on their side, who are holding up a megaphone to their mouths, some of whom do not need amplification.
I'm a nutcase.
For instance. Oh, I mean, that man could be heard through concrete, whispering. 0345-6060-973. You can text 84850. Email nicka@lbc.co.uk. If you are on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone, 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10, Nick Abbott, LBC.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Clive Bull.
Is the UK public already cutting back because of Iran? Was Jamie Oliver right all along about school dinners? And how important is the tradition of a Saturday job?
Clive Bull at 1. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Chase is the digital bank that boosts your savings to 4.5% AER variable.
A boost?
Yep. It includes a 2.25% AER boost for the first 12 months.
Are they being boosted now?
All the time. Bedtime, gym time, romantic dinner time. And soon you could boost your way to...
beach time.
Boost your savings with Chase. Search Chase Boosted Saver. 18 plus UK residents available to new Chase current account customers for their first 31 days. 4.41% gross interest paid monthly. Eligibility and T's and C's apply.
Calling all young creatives. Kickstart your career in media. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12 at Global Academy. Globalacademy.com.
The weather's warmer, the days are longer, and the savings are even better in the Hillary Spring Sale. Right now, there's up to 40% off hundreds of made-to-measure styles. Plus, get an extra 10% off everything in our flash event, including our total blackout blinds for complete darkness and a good night's sleep. And don't forget, with Hillary's, measuring and fitting is always included. So get window-wise and book your free in-home appointment today at hillarys.co.uk. But hurry, an extra 10% off everything ends the 13th of April. Conditions apply.
My name is Paul, and this is my NHS story. I started to notice that the hip was becoming numb. The GP referred me for an X-ray. And just being informed, being kept in the loop, I feel much better in myself, and I feel confident about how the future is going to unfold.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres, with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Come on, we're running late.
We are running late. Hackney. Hello, Peter.
Good evening.
Peter.
I'd like to continue the animal theme that's been cropping up.
Yeah.
But just before I make my main point, can I clear up the tortoise thing? I'm pretty sure a tortoise is either a crustacean or an arachnid. I think I ought to clear that up properly.
Yes, yeah. It's a big spider with its carries its own home around with it. That is correct.
Anyway, I'd like to add a new contender for the cutest looking animal in the world, and that is the Australian wombat, which is definitely cuter than a capybara.
Well, and yeah, anything's cuter than a capybara, because of that whole nose issue.
And I think it's probably cuter than that other one you mentioned, the cocker or something, whatever it is.
Well, I'm just drawing up a picture of a wombat as we speak, and I can confirm that it is not cuter than a quokka.
Okay, anyway, but as I was waiting, I did a little bit of research, because I know how you like your program to be educational sometimes.
Yes, that's
so
right.
Here's a couple of factoids about the wombat. Firstly, when it goes to the loo, its poo comes out in cube shaped. How about that for a thing?
hang on. Before you go to your next point,
okay.
Your first point isn't true.
It is. I've checked it. If you look at pictures, if you type in wombat poo...
I'm doing that right now. This is probably going to send me to a part of the internet that I don't want to go to. Wombat poop, right. Wombats are the only known species to produce cube-shaped poo. How do they do that, then?
Oh, I didn't want to read that bit. It got a bit too graphic, so, but anyway.
It comes out in cube form.
Amazing, isn't it?
Wow. Why would they want to do that, though? I mean, what are they, building a house?
Well, I did read it, but apparently maybe it makes it easier for them to stack them up when they're marking their territory or something. I don't know. Maybe it's Lego, you know, animal Lego or something. I don't know.
Wombats are the only known species to produce cube-shaped poo, a unique adaptation for marking territory without the feces rolling away. They produce up to 100 cubes nightly, often stacking them on rocks or logs. Wow! Well, we certainly have learned something on this show, yes?
Yes.
And it continues. So in the 2000 Sydney Olympics, the unofficial mascot was a thing created by a cartoonist called Fatso the Fat Bottom Wombat. Although the Australians didn't use the word bottom, they used another word.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a cultural thing. Anyway, but my point is this. It goes to confirm your thesis, which I agree, is that every bit of wildlife in Australia is either deadly or dangerous. Because these wombats, although they look incredibly cute, they weigh up to about 80 pounds. They can run at 40 miles an hour, and they're all muscle and cartilage. And so if that thing runs at you, it'll just run over you.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good at all. That's not cute at all.
And my last point, again, my extensive research before ringing. There's some morons out there who put things on Instagram and Facebook saying wombats make cute pets.
Ooh.
And wombats are incredibly territorial and dangerous, and the last thing you really want is a pet. So, I don't know. Morons are out there.
It sounds like they would make poop igloos, but not cute pets.
Very good. Yeah, I like it. Anyway, so The cube info, I think, justifies my price of admission to your wonderful program.
Well, it absolutely does, yes. I am shocked and a little bit stunned.
But it is cute. Anyway.
So, it's cute-ish. Yeah, it's cute. It's cute adjacent. All right, good work. Thanks a lot, Peter. Wow, this show is an education every now and again. Almost by accident. Market in Australia, coincidentally, says... I understand that there are problems going on with the war, the cost of living and petrol prices, but it's time to address the real issue. Did you follow my advice on how to get perfect chips in an air fryer? You must shake the basket periodically during cooking, oven gloves on, and shake about 3 times. Lovely and crispy, you can thank me later. No, wait, you can thank me now. I won't do either of those things, Mark, because air fryers can't cook chips. They just can't. They can't do potatoes of any kind. In fact, they're a completely useless device. I'm very, very disappointed. I bought the most expensive one the shop had. It was about 200 quid, something like that. And I'm utterly useless. This says, I'm going to have a soprano summer this year. Cured meats and panic attacks. Eat your gabagool. I've no idea what that means, but they say it a lot. They're always pushing food around a plate in The Sopranos. Never eat any, but they stab it a lot. Bristol. Hello, John.
Ah, Nick. Mr. Abbott.
John.
OK. Right, to start off with, Dark Side of the Moon and Wish You Were Here, the two greatest albums made in the last 60 years. OK?
Yes.
That is the correct answer.
It is.
Secondly, big shout-out to Annie from Carnforth and Sophie, the one with the laugh, and Rose, who are my three favourite callers. They're brilliant. And thirdly, mm-hmm. and you're not going to like this, Nick, hang Uh-oh. On to your hat.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. I've never seen one single minute of The Sopranos. But no, Nick, I don't have to, because we're living in it.
Yes.
And we're living in Doctor Strangelove and mm-hmm. Team America World Police.
Yes.
And this is actually happening.
And Idiocracy as well.
And Idiocracy.
And Don't Look Up. Yeah.
Yeah. You couldn't, I mean, honestly, you couldn't make it up. I mean, we're laughing about it, but we're I mean...
Well, what else can we do, John?
These guys in Washington are insane. They've taken over the asylum.
Yeah, yes, I think all of the above is true, yes. But let's cling on for as long as we can. And,
hey, mate, yes. I'm just gonna chill out and listen to Dark Side of the Moon and Wish You Were Here.
There you go.
For the rest of my life.
Yeah, put it on constant rotation.
If only these people like Putin and all the others, Netanyahu and all the and the crazies, the Trumps and all the rest of them, what they should have done as a kid, they should have just grew up with a bit of Pink Floyd, bit of Spliff, and just chill, and maybe they would have become better human beings.
Just chill out. Put your brain in neutral, just relax, chill out. And float downstream. Exactly right. And as for the jazz cheroot, well, kids, just say no. In fact, just say no thank you. I mean, good manners don't cost nothing, do they?
Be polite!
Tom says, does anyone like the new U2 song? Bonio must be 80 years old. Must be 80 years old now. But what an amazing song directed at Iran. I remember U2 being a support warm-up band for Sting and the Police in the 1980s. Blimey. Bongo used to be just incredibly annoying. I mean, he's kind of annoying now, but when he was younger, he was even more annoying than he is now. Mind you, Sting's... there's a certain element of annoyingness about Sting, isn't there? Be honest. But I haven't heard the new U2 song. Don't know nothing about it. Justin says, Gabagool is capicola-cured fatty shoulder pork. Oh, well, I don't like the sound of that at all. And Phil says, why are you not talking about Ray Donovan or The Wire, easily on a par with The Sopranos? Well, I don't know nothing about Ray Donovan. What is it? The Wire I saw all the way through. I think I saw it twice. I don't really want to see it again. It's a bit of a slog. It's not like the... It's not a comedy, which is essentially what The Sopranos is. The Wire is just really real. What's extraordinary about that TV show is how real it seems. How the directors got the performances out of those kids. So I don't think many of them were real actors. They were just found in those locations. I might have that wrong, but I think that's more or less right. They were those people. And the performances that come out of it is just extraordinarily good. And it just seems... It doesn't seem like they're acting. It seems like they're just being. But it's not fun, exactly, is it? It's totally gripping. But I think I could last without seeing it again. I don't need to go through that again. Speaking of films, Marwan says, Nick, I watched a bit of the Melania film. It was absolutely horrendous. It was a film about her day-to-day life, fashion, and her attention to detail preparing events. It's everything you would expect it to be. I was hoping that there would be some substance to it, but it was absolutely vacuous. Absolutely vacuous, says Marwan. Which is exactly how Donald likes his women.
Oh, shut up!
That might not necessarily be true. I don't know. I should have asked I should have posed that as a question. And then I could have said, I'm just asking questions. Please don't sue me for...
$8,737,540,000.
Yeah. Or even...
Maybe four?
Maybe $4. Now, if you missed any of today's show, like I said before, then you should be aware that the Friday and Saturday night shows get squirted up the internet as podcasts almost the moment they finish. The thing to ask for is Nick Abbott, the whole show podcast. The Friday and Saturday night shows get put up as podcasts exclusive to Global Player or the new LBC app, both of which are free from your app store. And the thing to ask for is Nick Abbott, the whole show podcast. I'll be back tonight with my normal abnormal show. Coming up at 4 on LBC, it's James Hansen. But first, it's time for Clyde Ball.
Nick, thank you. Coming up after the news, polling suggests this morning that half of the great British public has already started cutting back and is feeling the effect of the conflict in the Middle East. Do you think this is happening? Have your spending habits changed? Also, a report backed by Jamie Oliver says school dinners are now dominated by unhealthy grab-and-go foods, and higher standards should be enforced. Would old-fashioned school dinners do a better job? And the boss of M&S says Labour's workers' rights bill risks destroying part-time and Saturday jobs. How important are those jobs? And did you have one? That and more after the news at one, which is next on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock. President Trump has said the United States does not have to be there for NATO during a speech mostly covering the war in Iran. He's been talking to an investment forum in Miami, and he told them he was upset that European member states declined to provide material support for the attacks against the Islamic Republic.
I said, are you going to help us? Yes, yes, we're going to help you. When the war is finished, we will be there. This is NATO. And I've always said NATO's a paper tiger. And I've always said we help NATO, but they'll never help us. And if the big one ever happened, and I don't think it will, but if the big one ever happened, I guarantee you they wouldn't be there.
The Iranian-backed Houthis say they're ready to intervene militarily in the Middle East if the allies of the U.S. and Israel join the existing conflict. The group is based in Yemen and made the announcements during a televised speech. The policing watchdog says Merseyside police is being investigated after a man spent 38 years in prison for a murder he didn't commit. It follows a complaint from Peter Sullivan, who was jailed after 21-year-old Diane Sindel was killed while walking through Birkenhead on the Wirral in 1986. More now from LBC's Henry Thomas Aldridge.
The 68-year-old was freed last year after new DNA evidence showed another unknown man was responsible for the rape and murder of Diane, who'd been working in a bar. The Independent Office for Police Conduct says Mr. Sullivan was a victim of one of the worst miscarriages of justice this country has ever seen. It says it's also particularly concerned about the severity of some of the allegations contained in the complaint against Merseyside Police. The force referred itself to the IOPC after Mr. Sullivan made a complaint.
The golfer Tiger Woods has been charged with driving under the influence and two other offences after a road collision in Florida. Police say he refused to give a urine specimen in prison after being detained on Friday afternoon. Sheriff John Bundensek has been briefing the media.
Mr. Woods did exemplify signs of impairment. They did several tests on him. Of course, he did explain the injuries and the surgeries that he had. We did take that into account. But they did do some in-depth roadside tests. And when it was determined, he was placed under arrest and taken to the Martin County Jail.
And in sport, a much